station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Bergon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Wink, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 993. 993 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Bergon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Or our website is it's just simply BibleForToday.org is what the website is, BibleForToday.org. And you can hear on that 24/7 the verse-by-verse preaching from this church, Bible for Today Baptist Church, from Romans through Revelation. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why don't I ask your bookstore to tell you how to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you received yet the Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. It's genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 54,000 are printed and distributed worldwide. Why don't order yourself a copy and one for your friends, the Bible, the defined King James Bible. Not another Bible in the world like it. All right, we're continuing the analysis of this book. We don't think it's a good book. We think it's a very bad book. God's Word Preserved, the Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs, by Dr. Michael Sproul. Dr. Michael Sproul is the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, or Tempe, rather, Arizona, and he's the chairman of the board of the International Baptist College. This word, God's Word Preserved, he doesn't mean the words of God preserved, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, but simply the message, thoughts, and ideas. It's a misnomer. We have 275 things we want to talk about in this book, and we're on point number 131. 131 out of a total of 275. And we're on page number 145, where he says, the King James and many of the immoral translators of the KJV and so on. Immoral translators? Now, in the first place, it's false. The second place, even if they had some immorality, which is not true, I don't know why he's making this charge. There's only one of them they accuse of being a drunkard, but that was after he'd finished the work, I think, on the King James Bible. It didn't affect his translating and so on. But he says many of the immoral translators, as if there are many of the translators, of the 56 or whatever number of men that there were that translated, and he's smearing the entire pack of the King James translators by being immoral. Doesn't go after the text, or doesn't go after the technique, doesn't go after the ability of the language, but smearing false unbelief and immorality of these translators, which is simply false and not true. I don't understand where Sproul is coming from in this attack on our translators of our King James Bible. Don't understand it at all. He shouldn't be doing it. Why, point number 132 out of 275 on page 154. He talks about Benjamin Keach. Benjamin Keach. He says there, this is contained exactly and most purely in the originals and in all translations, so far as they agree therewith. Now, Benjamin Keach, he's writing about the Word of God, the doctrine, the revelation of God's will. Well, my friend, he's talking about, I believe that's false, as far as contained exactly and most purely in the originals and in all translations. My friend, the words of God are not contained purely in translations. Now, they may be translations of the pure words of God, but the words, the specific words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, are contained only in the originals and exact copies of those originals, which we believe are the copies that underlie our King James Bible. They had the proper copies. And therefore, I believe that their originals, the same as the originals themselves, the words underlying our King James Bible, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek works. But all translations, that's poppycock. As Benjamin Peach, we should not agree with Benjamin Peach on that at all. And so this is a story of 18th, he's talking about 17th century fathers on preservation. And certainly that's not what we believe as far as translations being a preservation or preserving the very words of the living God. And we should not be talking about translations. Preservation, Bible preservation, is exclusively confined to the original language manuscripts being preserved and kept free from error from the originals to the present copies that we have. And that's what we should be talking about. Let's go to point number 133 out of 275 on page 174 of this book, God's Word Preserved, where he says this: in fact, a KJV-only society named after him, he's talking about Dean Burgon, and he's talking about the Dean Burgon Society. He said, talking about Dean Burgon in 1888 when he died, in the 1880s when he lived and wrote many of his books. A KJV-only society named after him publishes books and pamphlets on this subject. Then does the KJV-only society agree with its namesake? That is Dean Burgon, see. And then he says, if Dean Burgon were alive today, could Dean Burgon share his views of actual or textual criticism and give specific references to the different places where he believes errors exist in the KJV? End of quote. Well, let's just stop right there. First of all, he calls the Dean Burgon Society, he doesn't name it, calls the Dean Burgon Society here a KJV-only society. I've said it before in the broadcast, I'll say it again. KJV-only is a smear, derogatory term used for anybody that stands for the King James Bible. And it's also used for those who are followers of Dr. Peter Ruckman and all the Ruckmanite followers of him who have false views on the King James Bible, believing it to be God-breathed in English and superseding the Greek and Hebrew from which it was taken and correcting it. And I don't like to be called KJV only and put in the class, as these men are trying to put us in the Peter Ruckman variety. We disagree completely on the basis of the King James Bible. And Ruckman says it's a revelation. We say it's an accurate translation, completely. Now, as far as the society giving his name, and again, he uses this word, as the KJV only society. My friend, this is a misnomer. We're not a King James Bible only society like the Ruckmanites, and that's what he's trying to imply at all. Now, as far as Dean Burgon, could he use the beliefs of us? We simply say, let Dean Burgon alone. He had textual criticism, and yes, he followed manuscripts, and he believes, Dean Burgon believes, and he wrote about it, that the closest to the original Greek and Hebrew Greek and Hebrew words are the words that underlie our King James Bible, or the received text, the Textus Receptus. He says the Textus Receptus stands alone as good as it now stands. Yes, he said there may be a few changes he would make if he had all the evidence, and he didn't get all the evidence. But had he gotten all the evidence, he might have made a few changes, yes. But the Dean Burgon Society doesn't get into textual criticism. We take the position that the King James Bible is the only accurate English translation in existence today. That's number one. We also say that the Word of God has been promised by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and none other, to be preserved from the originals to the present day. And since he said it was going to be preserved, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Since we believe he promised preservation, he always keeps his promises, and he's kept the promise to preserve his words. And so we believe that he has done so with all the evidence we've been able to amass ever since we've been in this subject, in this battle, since the 1970s, early 1970s. We believe the preserved words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek that underlie our King James Bible are exactly the same as the originals. And we don't have to take all the points of Dean Burgon in order to name a society after him. One thing we say at the bottom of every one of our Dean Burgon news, and by the way, if you're interested in Dean Burgon news, simply write us or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send you a copy of our latest Dean Burgon News, and you can look it over. And the latest issue and all the issues, at the very bottom of the first page, say the following. Quote, the Dean Burgon Society Incorporated, by the way, I've been the president of that for 28 years now, the Dean Burgon Society Incorporated proudly takes its name in honor of John William Burgon, 1813 to 1888, the Dean of Chichester in England, whose tireless and accurate scholarship and contribution in the area of New Testament textual criticism, whose defense of the traditional Greek New Testament text against its many enemies, and whose firm belief in the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, we believe have all been unsurpassed, either before or since his time. Now that's what our belief is. That's why we've taken his name. We don't have to agree with everything that Dean Burgon believed. Of course not. I happen to be a Baptist, an independent Baptist. We have people in the Dean Burgon Society, one of them that's a Bible brother. We have a few that are in the Bible Presbyterian Church. Most of us are Baptists. But this is not a Baptist or a Presbyterian or some other denominational society. It's a society that stands for one main doctrine. And we stand firmly on that doctrine, and we agree on that doctrine. We're separatists. We're against the apostates of our day, the new evangelicals of our day, the modernists of our day, and compromisers of all kinds. We stand for the literal 6 days of creation. There's many doctrines that we hold to, but the main doctrine, we're in defense of traditional Bible texts, in defense of traditional Bible texts, starting with the traditional Hebrew text, the traditional Aramaic text, the traditional Greek text, the traditional English text, the King James Bible, and all the other traditional texts of the languages of the world. So regardless of Dean Burgon's theological beliefs or other things, we can still take his name. And I read that to you, the very bottom of every single issue of our Dean Burgon News, to show why we took that name. Well, let's go on to point number 134 out of 275. We're still on page 174. And here's where Sproul says this. He says, the Dean Burgon Society, or it is more likely that his preference might be to cut associational ties with D.A. Waite and the Dean Burgon Society. Now, the background of that, let me see if I can get back to this. Could he freely speak, that is Dean Burgon, on the subject of preservation at a meeting of the Dean Burgon Society? Or is it more likely that his preference might be to cut associational ties with D.A. Waite, that's your speaker, and the Dean Burgon Society? And then he gets into this. Theodore Letus openly admits and asserts that the Dean Burgon Society is in complete disagreement with one of the most quoted and supposed founder of the King James Version-only movement, Dean Burgon himself. End of quote. Well, let me a number of things to talk about on that. First of all, the Dean Burgon himself is not KJV only. And how can this man, Ted Letus, who's now dead, by the way, he died in an accident. He was a Lutheran. He was in apostate associations, I should say. He was tied in with all the apostates of the Lutheran Church, of which he was a member. He was not a separatist. He hates Baptists, and he's always written against them. He hates separatists that separate from apostasy and unbelief. And he certainly hated your speaker. I've known him ever since the Dean Burgon Society was founded. He attended the first meeting, probably wanted to climb high into that meeting. As we heard before or after his death, we heard that he had a jazz type of a musical background and had strange views on music. And he was he didn't say too much about his own beliefs on things. But being an ecumenical Lutheran and in the Lutheran Church, he had lots of questionable things as far as what he believed. But he was in attendance of the first meeting of the Dean Burgon Society in 1978. And in that meeting, we couldn't have him as a on the executive committee because he was, at that time, was a member of a Methodist-type church that was in a backdoor relationship with the National Council of Churches. And since our Dean Burgon Society is a separatist organization, we could not possibly have him in that thing. I said, Ted, I said, you have a choice. You either change your church in something that's not in any connection with the apostasy, or you can't be a part of our Dean Bergen side. The choice is yours. We're trying to put pressure. He said, no problem. I just change churches. No problem as far as that's concerned. Well, there was a problem. There was a problem, certainly, because he wrote me the hottest letter I think I've ever read and ever received, I should say, saying, how dare you say I've got to change churches? I didn't tell him he had to change. I didn't tell him to change. If he wants to be with us, he can't be with any connection with the apostasy in the National Council of Churches. Well, he was angry about that. He was fuming about that. It's interesting. After his death, his wife wrote to me and said, I understand you have some things against my husband, my former husband. I'd like to know what they are, because I'm doing an investigation to see what are the charges, what are the things that people have against him. And so I sent her a number of things. I told her where she could find them. I told her the articles. I told her something about it. And I hope that she will come to the proper conclusion. But anyway, he's quoting Ted Leetis here. And Ted Leetis, who's, I believe, one of the most pompous of toads that I've ever met, he thinks he knows everything. Everybody else is no good. And the thing about it is, he's right and everybody else is wrong. He's very arrogant, as far as I'm concerned. And Ted Leetis, he says, openly admits and asserts that the Dean Bergen Society is in complete disagreement with one of the most quoted and supposed founder of the KJV-only movement. Again, he smears the Dean Bergen Society as KJV-only, meaning we're Ruckmanites, which we are not. We loathe that situation, the stand that Peter Ruckman takes. He's been divorced and remarried two or three times. He's a Baptist minister that, as far as I'm concerned, he's disqualified. The scripture's clear and say he must be the husband of one wife. In other words, one living wife. Yet he's not a husband of one wife, yet he's a pastor. He's a Baptist minister there in Florida, in this area of wherever it is in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. And so we disagree. But calling us again, KJV Only Society, it's bad indeed. Let's go on to point number 135. Out of 275, still on page 174. He says, the KJV Only Movement, here it is again, knocking us, lying about us. The KJV Only movement is transitioning from its founders' beliefs to Ruckmanism. Did you get that? How dare this man by the name of Sproul, Michael Sproul, there in Tempe, Arizona, Tri-City Baptist Church, Chairman of the Board of International Baptist College, how dare can he say, first of all, calling us by a smear term, King James Version only, trying to yoke us up with Ruckmanism, and then he has the audacity to say, without any proof whatever, the KJV Only movement is transitioning from its founder's beliefs. The founder, I'm the founder. Dean Bergen wasn't the founder of this society. D.A. Wade is the founder. There were three of us that got together for this Dean Bergen Society. Dr. David Otis Fuller was one, Pastor E.L. Bynum was another, and D.A. Waite was a third. And we felt that there should be a society that stood for our King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And so, in 1978, we founded the Dean Bergen Society, and we're not transitioning from its founder's belief, and I'm the founder, to Ruckmanism. There's not a single person any more opposed to Ruckmanism, as he stated, than yours truly, the speaker. Absolutely. False, smear, lying. And you know, lying is of the devil. And I don't care if this man is a Christian and a born-again believer, which he professes to be, Dr. Michael Sproul, if he's calling people Ruckmanites or transitioning to Ruckman, which is false, he's using the tactics of Satan. Christians should have no business using the tactics of the devil. And we quote again John chapter 8 and verse 44, where the Lord Jesus talked to the Pharisees, and said to them, ye are of your father, the devil. I'm not calling Sproul a child of the devil, but I'm just using this illustration to showing how the author of lying is Satan. You're the father of the devil. The lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, for there's no truth in him. For he is a liar and the father of it. The father of a lie is Satan. And to have Michael Sproul, who is a professing born-again Baptist Christian, using the tactics of lies that is founded on the devil, should never be. And may God deliver us, any of us, from using the lies of the devil, saying we're transitioning to Ruckmanism. Absolutely false. We have read resolutions and speeches and speakers against Ruckmanism from the beginning. Let's go over to point number 136 out of 275, still on page 174. He says this, yet D.A. Waite, who is the president of the Dean Bergen Society, wrote, now he's going to quote your speaker, quote, it is my own personal conviction and belief, after studying the subject since 1971, that the words of the received text, received Greek and Masoretic Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible are the very words which God has preserved down through the centuries, being the exact words of the originals themselves. As such, I believe they are inspired words, I believe they are preserved words, I believe they are inerrant words, and I believe that they are infallible words. End of quote. That's exactly what I believe. That's a quotation. That's a footnote there, and he quotes me from Defending the King James Bible, pages 48 and 49. I have not changed my belief on this. I have not changed anything if I believe any differently than this. And that's my belief and conviction. And how is that transitioning to Ruckmanism? That's a strange thing indeed. All right, let's go on to point number 137 out of 275. We're now over on page number 175, where we read this. My question is, and this is a question that he raises, which one of the many different TRs, Textus Receptus, has the exact words of God? Between Scrivener's 1881 that underlies the KJV and the 1550 Textus Receptus published by Stevens exist multiple variants in Romans 8:11 alone. End of quote. So he's saying, what are the variants, what are the words that we're talking about that underlie the King James Bible and the real Textus Receptus words? I've defined that. I don't know whether this man, Sproul, can understand plain English, but if he's asking me where the exact words are that I believe are the Textus Receptus the best one, the right one, those are the words that underlie the King James Bible, Hebrew words, Aramaic words, and Greek words. And so that's the exact text that I believe it should be the one that is the received text, because those are replicas of the original words themselves. So that's what he was talking about on point number 137. Let's go on to point number 138 out of 275. We're on page number 180 now, where he says this. Sproul talks about by plenary inspiration is meant that the accuracy which verbal inspiration secures. So he's talking about Dr. Schaefer writing on preservation, and he does write about preservation. And Schaefer says this, the noted fundamental theologian wrote, this is Schaefer, Dr. Louis Bray Schaefer, my teacher for 4 years, and then he died after our class graduated, he died that summer. He says, quote, the claim for verbal plenary inspiration is made only for the original writings and does not extend to any transcription or translation. Transcription or translation. Well, that's all right. That's what he wants to do. That's plenary inspiration. But we also believe there's such a thing as plenary preservation of the very words of the living God. It's important to see. So that's point number 138. Let's go on to point number 139. In this book by Dr. David or Michael Sproul, as I say, from Tempe, Arizona, and he certainly is the pastor there. He should know something about things. Point number 139 deals with page number 198. It's under the question, that did the pro-KJV people historically believe in an inerrant TR or KJV? He says this. He says, did they believe it or did they not? Did they believe what the current leaders in the KJV only movement believe, namely that the TR Greek text or Masoretic Hebrew text and or the KJV language version could claim the title of exact reproduction of the originals? End of quote. Let me just pause right there. We do not say that the King James Bible or any other Bible is a reproduction of the originals, because the originals are written Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and the King James Bible obviously is written in English. We don't say that at all. And my question is, so what if these men didn't believe? What if they didn't believe in an inerrant TR or King James Version? I'm not talking about inerrant King James. We don't believe in the inerrancy of the King James Bible. It's the inerrancy of the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words that underlie the King James Bible. There's where inerrancy is, because they're God's words. God breathed words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And so even if the old-timers in the fundamentalist movement didn't believe in verbal preservation, does that mean it's wrong? They didn't believe a lot of things in the 1909 or the early fundamentals of the faith in the writings there. But that does that mean that we have to stop thinking because they've spoken? And we don't believe that at all. Well, let's go on to point number 140 out of 275. Number 140, we're on page number 199. It's quoting Alfred Martin, and he says, one cannot say the Textus Receptus, for example, is verbally inspired. It contains many plain and clear errors. End quote. Well, Alfred Martin and I disagree. That's in which Bible? We don't say that it's, he says it's not verbally inspired. Well, it may not be verbally inspired, but if the words in the Textus Receptus are the exact words of the originals, those are words that have been verbally inspired by God. God breathed words, copied exactly. They're still inspired words because of the same words of the originals. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collinsville, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, the Defined King James Bible, and we hope that you'll get a copy of one of the books that we offer from time to time. Write us. We're glad to hear from you. Simply call us at Bible for Today, and 900 Park Avenue, Collinsville, New Jersey. Bible for Today, Collinsville, New Jersey, or ask, just call us on the telephone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're glad to answer you. We're going to continue this next broadcast. We hope that you'll stay tuned. This book, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs, by Dr. Michael D. Sproul, is an important book. It should be answered, and we're trying to do our best to answer these arguments that are used. We have 275 of these arguments. We want to use them, and we're on argument number 140. We just finished that. We're going to go to 141 next week. We hope you'll stay tuned to us. It's an important topic, standing for our King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew text underlying it. Well, time's up for now. So long, and we'll see you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, bye-bye. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to Daily Bible Broadcast, I should say, Weekly Bible Broadcast number 994, 994 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament received text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Or we'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? It's genuine, deluxe leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, not another Bible in the world like it. Over 54,000 are sold and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. Well, we're continuing the analysis of this book, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael D. Sproul. He's the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. He's the chairman of the board of International Baptist College. And we don't agree with what he's put here in the book in many places. We have a total of 275 points that we want to bring up that we don't agree with. We're on right now on page 199, point number 141 out of 275 disagreement points. He's talking about David Otis Fuller. And he talks about him and he misrepresents him, we feel. He says, when therefore the great bulk of witnesses in proportion supposed to 100 to 50 or 1 yield unbelieving testimony to a certain reading, and the remaining little handful of authorities, while advocating a different reading, are yet observed to be unstable, to agree among themselves as to what that different reading concerning which all that discrepancy of detail is observed to exist, may be regarded as certainly false. End of quote. Well, Dr. Fuller, what he's saying is this. If you have a reading that's supported by many, many other readings, that's the way to go. That's usually the one to take. But the one that has no support, that's the one to throw out. That's what Dr. Fuller is pointing out here as is being quoted by his book. So let's go on to point number 142 out of 275. I'd like to say just another point on point 141 before we close. We're on page number 200 now. He says, the influential book in the KJV Only Movement admits the TR is not perfect, and by extension, the KJV cannot be inerrant or infallible. End of quote. We don't say it is perfect and infallible. I don't say it's perfect or imperfect, I should say. I don't say it's fallible, but I do not like, as I've said many times before in the broadcast, I do not like to use words that can be used of the Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew texts and words rather than a translation. Perfection is from the Lord, and the Lord has perfectly given to us his Hebrew Old Testament words, a little Aramaic, and his Greek words in the New Testament. There's where perfection lies. There's where infallibility, there's where inerrancy lies. I say the King James is the only accurate translation of the inerrant, infallible words that God has given to us in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek that has been preserved for us, that words that underlie our King James Bible. Now let's go on to point number 142 out of 275, again on page 200, where Sproul says this, men like Cloud, he's talking about David Cloud, Waite, that's D.A. Waite, that's your speaker, and Koo, Dr. Jeffrey Koo, are clearly considered unreasonable by Brown, Rice, or Martin. Brown, I guess that's David Brown. I mean, I don't know who it is. It's probably Mark Brown, maybe. Whatever Brown it might be, Ken Brown, Dwayne Brown, Rice, whoever that may be, and Martin, whoever that is, because Cloud, Waite, and Koo consider the TR and or the 1611 English version that the translators created as the exact representation of the original documents. And let me just simply pause right there and say what lies there lie behind that statement. First of all, it's including me. I'm just going to speak for myself, and I think I'm speaking for Dr. Koo as well, who's a Chinese Christian over there in the area of Singapore. He's the dean of the Far Eastern Bible College and Seminary. One of the advisory council members of our Dean Burgon Society. We consider the TR, the Textus Receptus, yes, the words that underlie our King James Bible, to be the exact representation of the original documents. Now, that's true. But to say we hold that the 1611 English version is the exact representation, you can't represent Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words in English. We say it's the only exact and accurate translation of those inspired, inerrant Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, but not that it is an exact representation. You can't represent English in English, the words of originally in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But I want to say another thing about this statement. He says that the English version, the TR, the English version, that the translators created. The Text Receptus, that the translators created. My friend, he's lied about this before. He's lying to us again today. The translators of the King James Bible created no version, no Greek text. This is what they've lied about. They say they back-translated from their translation back into the Greek. No, they didn't create a Greek text. They used, basically, Beza's 5th edition, 1598. And they made a few changes from other places instead of Beza. 190 places are specified by Dr. Frederick Scribner. But to say that the Textus Receptus that the King James translators created is false indeed. Let's go to point number 143 out of 275, on page 200 still, where they say this. By the way, let me just continue. One more sentence on 142, number 142. Modern KJV-only authors do not even agree with their founders, like Dean Burgon, F.H.A. Scrivener, Terence Brown, Robert Dick Wilson, or Martin, let alone mainstream separatists like Bob Jones, Richard Clearwaters, John R. Rice, Noel Smith, etc. End of quote. Well, first of all, these men were not the founders of the Dean Burgon Society. We're not the founders. Now, modern KJV-only authors. Now, there again, they're smearing those that stand for the King James Bible, calling them Ruckmanites. KJV-only is a symbol for Ruckmanites and repeat followers of Peter Ruckman, which is false. And their founders were not Dean Burgon, Scrivener, Terence Brown, and so on, because they didn't found a Ruckmanite group. That's why I'm objecting to his use of this. All right, let's go on to number 143 out of 275, these points, page 200. He asks a question. Sproul asks a question in his book, Modern, God's Word Preserved. He says, the question is the KJV-only movement settled theologically? I was talking about this movement. Again, we don't use the term. I use only the King James Bible, but I don't use KJV-only. In fact, there's an interesting article came to my attention recently. It's well written, and it gives the history of the King James Version-only moniker or label or smear term. Walks it right straight through historically. It's a very amazing article. Maybe you should get it and look at it and use it. So let's go on to point number 144 out of 275. We're on page number 901 now. Excuse me, 201, I should say. And the Sproul says this. The KJV-only followers and leaders want an exact Greek Textus Receptus. End of quote. Well, my friend, of course we do. And we believe we have it. And Dr. Jack Mormon believes that we have it. Dr. Jack Mormon has recently published for him, the Dean Burgon Society and the Bible for Today, a 544-page book that every one of you listening to me should have. It's 8,000. It's called 8,000 Differences Between the Critical Texts That Underlie the Modern Versions and the Textus Receptus text that underlies our King James Bible. 8,000 differences. You ought to get it. He says the followers want an exact TR. Well, absolutely we do. However, which the public became aware that literally scores of TRs existed when the public found out, and none perfectly agreed with each other, the leaders had to explain that the TR created by the KJV translators was the purest of the pure. End of quote. Again, the blatant falsehood and lie of Dr. Michael Sproul on this page, number 201. He says that the Textus Receptus created by the Textus KJV translators. My friend, they didn't create any text. They followed the text. It's as if, Earlier they said they back-translated the text. They take the King James English and translate it back into the Greek. Absolutely false. They did not produce a text. They had a text before them, which we've said many times on the broadcast, and we'll say it again this one last time, maybe not the last time, one more time. The translators of the King James Bible used predominantly one major Greek edition of the received text. That edition was the edition of Beza, 5th edition. It was 1598. Now that's a fact. Dr. Scrivener, who's in his book, Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, which we've published in the Bible for Today in the Dean Bergen Society, that shows very clearly that's the text. And certainly that is the purest of the pure in our judgment, but it's not been created by the translators. As I said before, they had Beza's text, 5th edition, 1598. In the appendix, it lists about 190 places where they took other Greek editions instead of the Beza one. But it's basically Beza, and we believe it is the closest to the original words of God in the New Testament. Let's go on to point number 145 out of 276. Sproul writes, one of the two groups of people is deceived. Either fundamentalism's godly fathers, Richard Clearwaters, Bob Jones Sr., A.T. Robertson, D.L. Moody, Noel Smith, John R. Rice, Ernest Pickering, W.B. Riley, R.A. Torrey, James Gray, C.S. Schofield, and so on, are wrong and deceived along with their heirs who hold their position on preservation of, or KJV only advocates, D.A. Waite, David Cloud, Dell Johnson, Jeffrey Koo, David Sorensen, and their followers are fooled in error. End of quote. One of the two, either were in error and fooled, or the other group, the godly fathers, fundamentalism's godly fathers, and they name some, are deceived. My friend, it's the godly fathers that are deceived. It's not us who are standing for this position, not me, it's not I. They were deceived because they never studied the matter. They've never gone from Genesis to Revelation looking for differences in translations. And they've never gone from Matthew to Revelation and compared every critical text word to the received text that underlies our King James Bible. They've never done it, as Dr. Jack Mormon has done. And that's what they need to do, is to analyze this thing. They were mistaken. They had not done the research. And many of the men today, Dr. Sproul has not done the research and compared from Matthew to Revelation, even the New Testament Greek, the words that differ from the words underlying our King James Bible. And yet he's writing this book and condemning and criticizing many of these people. All right, let's go on to point number 146 out of 275 on page 203, where Sproul writes this: the perfect preservation of Blaney's 1769 revision of the 1611 rises to a level of a 16 to 20 in the criterion given above. The rhetoric, hyperbole, and harsh language and so on all reveal this belief as a core to KJV onlyism. End of quote. Well, he's trying to knock the King James Bible Blaney edition. He talks about the preservation of it. I believe it's preserved translation of the preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, but he's trying to knock and change people's minds in regard to the 1611 Blaney edition. Now, Blaney should have knocked out the Apocrypha. He should have knocked out these 12 to 14 books in between the Old and the New Testament. He should have blotted them out, because they're certainly not part of the very words of God. But he didn't do that. All right, let's go on to point number 147. Out of 275, he says, this view lands them in Ruckman's lap theologically, because the KJV translators created by their English word choices a TR that was a brand new edition. Let me point right there, unquote. Again, he's repeating this blatant lie that the King James translators made a brand new Greek edition. They didn't. They took the edition of Beza, 5th edition, 1598. And some of the places, 190 is a very tiny number of places compared to the 140,000 words in the Greek New Testament. And they took, and in these places, they used some of the source, but basically it's Beza, 5th edition, 1598. And they did not create an edition by some means or other. They used basically Beza's edition of the Greek text. Let's go on to point number 148 out of 275, again on page 204, where Sproul says this. Michael Sproul says the following. He says, the KJV only leaders. No, before that even. He says, therefore, when they insist that the text receptus behind the King James Version contains the exact words of Paul or Matthew, ipso facto, they are claiming double inspiration for the translator's product. And so on. End of quote. We don't claim double inspiration at all for the translator's product. There's no double inspiration. That's a Ruckman philosophy. That's a Ruckman doctrine, a Peter Ruckman doctrine, and the Ruckmanites hold a double inspiration. They believe the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words were God-breathed. That's what inspiration of God means, God-breathed. They also mean that the King James Bible was God-breathed or given by inspiration of God as well. But this is not our belief at all. This is a Ruckman belief, and we do not hold to that in any way, shape, or form. Let's go on now to point number 149 out of 275 on bottom of page 204, where Sproul says, it is clear this chapter demonstrates that the KJV-only movement is in flux. Even matters in which Bible do not agree with many of the current KJV-only advocates. And to quote, first of all, we're not KJV-only advocates as far as being Ruckmanites and so on. It's a terrible disgrace to say that, but he continues to repeat it. As he says on the bottom page of 204, as more information becomes known, the KJV-only position must create more explanations that are regularly borrowed from Peter Ruckman in order to maintain their insistence that Blaney's 1769 KJV revision or Scribner's 1881 TR revisions are perfect. End of quote. Here they are lumping together the perfection, so-called, of the King James Bible and the perfection of the Greek words of Dr. Scribner in the words that underlie our King James Bible. It's wrong to lump them together. It's wrong to take this thing in that fashion. Now let's move on to a picture. Here's some pictures in the middle of this book, Erasmus and Greek text and various other texts. Let's go on to chapter number 5. Dr. Michael Sproul, God's Word Preserved. This is Dr. D.A. Waite debating this thing and saying the things that we differ with on this book. We don't agree with many of the things, but chapter 5 has to do with God communicates through an unclean thing, in question mark. And questionable theologians who are key in formulating KJV-only theology. Questionable theologians. And talks about KJV-only theology. Again, he's tying us in, yours truly and others that stand with us in our Dean Burkhardt Society, with the Ruckman wild-eyed, far-out bigots and crazy people. We're not far-out bigots and crazy people. We are sound, sane, and sensible in our Dean Burkhardt Society, and this man, Michael Sproul, wants to point us out and paint us as some disrespectful piece of trash. That's what he's trying to do, and he's doing it by lies and innuendos, and we are opposed to that completely. Let's go on to point number 151 out of 275, over on page 225, where he falsely says, Surrett. He's talking about Dr. Surrett there at the school, Ambassador Baptist College. He wrote a book, and I've answered that book, by the way. Surrett, the strong KJV and TR proponent, asserts, and so on. My friend, he's not a strong KJV and TR proponent at all. Surrett's book tries to tie two cat's tails together and make them one and make them compromise and make them move along together and be in conformity. He quotes, in fact, he quotes more from the critical text position than he does from the text of Receptus position. And Surratt cannot be called a strong KJV and TR proponent. He writes in Ambassador Baptist College, that's one of the things I have in opposition to the Ambassador Baptist College. The fact that they have a professor on their staff that writes a book that is namby-pamby, middle of the road in regard to what Greek words should be and what Greek words should not be. He takes both sides and gobbles them up and says they're all right, they should work together, everything's fine, we can't know which is which, text of Receptus, or the majority text of Hodges and Farstad, or the critical text of Westcott and Hort, the idea of the United Bible Societies, or Nestle-Aland. And so I differ with him completely that he's a strong KJV and text of Receptus proponent. Someone who's really strong would never try to say that the critical text is all right too, and we shouldn't be too much against it, and try to put the thing together and make it work together and say we shouldn't be in two different camps. My friend, if somebody has a camp and the Bob Jones University crowd does have that camp and others that follow them, then they think the critical text is the way to go. The critical text of Westcott and Hort, United Bible Societies, and the Nestle-Aland Greek text, whatever you want to call it, if they take the position that text is right, with 356 doctrinal errors and with 8,000 differences from the text that I take is right, I can't walk with them. I can't work with them. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And to have this man, Dr. Surratt, to try to tie these two groups together is beyond me. And I'm opposed to it completely and totally, and I can't buy it. I am one, not the only one, but I certainly am one that is strong in the King James Bible and strong in the text of Receptus. And I would never try to put in my book praiseworthy things from the critical text. And that's what Surratt did, and therefore he's not strong, and that's why Ambassador Baptist College is not strong in this area. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Be sure to tune in again next time. And remember, you can order for your bookstore, Defending the King James Bible, 10th edition. It's hardback edition, 350 pages. Order for your bookstore and also get the Defined King James Bible published for the Bible for Today. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Signing off, this is Dr. D.A. Waite telling you to tune in again next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air. Heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 995. 995 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the received traditional New Testament text in Greek, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email VFT@BibleForToday.org. Our website is BibleForToday.org. You can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from Romans through Revelation from our Bible for Today Baptist Church. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible yet? Its uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's published by our Bible for Today ministry. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, and the only Bible of its kind. 54,000 are printed and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing this analysis and debate against this book written by Dr. Michael D. Sproul. It's called God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. His name, God's Word Preserved, he doesn't mean the words of God. He doesn't mean he believes in the preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. The Word, just the ideas and thoughts and concepts. We're opposed to this. Now, Dr. Sproul is the pastor of the Trinity, or rather Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. He's the chairman of the board of the International Baptist College. So they're teaching these young men in that college, I'm sure, all of these errors and heresies and falsities and lies in this book. And so I believe it has to be answered, and I'm trying to do my best to answer it. We have a total of 275 items that we want to answer. 275. And right now we're on item number 152 out of 275 comments that we want to make. We're on page number 228, comment number 152. The caption here is Theodore Letus. Now, why on earth is Theodore Letus in with Frederick Nolan and Dr. Fuller and Dean Burgon and Wilkinson, some of these others? I'll never know. Because Theodore Letus is dead against our Dean Burgon Society. He's dead against us who are Baptists. He's dead against those who are separatists. And he doesn't care anything about this speaker, that is for sure. We mentioned him a little bit last broadcast. But he's a Lutheran. He's a new evangelical, Theodore Letus. And he's been introduced to Baptists and fundamental circles through videos and audio tapes. Now, the problem with this is that Theodore Letus was asked by Pensacola Christian College to be on video 2 or video 3, I forget what one it is, and with Del Johnson, and to talk about the textual matters. They should never have had this Lutheran. They should never have had this man connected with the World Council of Churches to go to Pensacola Christian College and try to debate this issue. He's not a separatist. He's not anything to do with anything, and he was protested. And they took his book, or at least they claimed to take his book out of the Pensacola bookstore. But there are many things are still there, and that's still videos being offered, I'm told, recently. And so, anyway, I don't know why he's bringing up Letus. He uses the King James, but on the other hand, when he was on the broadcast there, the video, I guess it was, from Pensacola, he introduced the King James 21. And he was trying to push that, King James 21. In fact, he was the media representative of King James 21, which is a competing version from the King James Bible. And so he's not solid in that regard at all, and yet he's listed here for some reason. All right, let's go on to chapter 6. The title they have for that, God Communicates Through Accurate Information. Three major fallacies of KJV-only position. My friends, let me repeat. We don't have the KJV-only position. Here at our Bible for Today ministry, or Dean Burgon Society, the King James Version-only epithet is used by those that are critical text people mainly in order to lambaste any of us who stand strong for the King James Bible, but especially they seek to connect us with the heretical position of Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida, Pensacola Bible Institute. All right, they have a quotation here from Terrence Brown, former chairman of the TBS, Trinitarian Bible Society. They say, no reasonable person imagines that the translations were translators were infallible or that their work was perfect. That's right. I agree with that. That's by Terrence Brown. I've known him. I met him. All right, let's go on to item number 153. Out of 256. We're now over on page 249. where we read this, quote, many historical and logical fallacies exist in the KJV only arguments. Let me pause right there. We're not KJV only. The Dean Burgon Society is not. That's an epithet for the Ruckman position. See, the one that was one of the leading people in the Ruckman camp is Samuel Gipp, Dr. Samuel Gipp, G-I-P-P. Samuel Gipp was on the John Ankerberg Show several years ago, I should say, in the summertime, as representing the King James Bible. There were three for the King James and about five or six for the critical text and the modern versions. And he was asked, and he's a graduate, I think, of Dr. Peter Ruckman's school, and he goes out to speak for him when Ruckman can't come and so on. But he was asked, I think it was by, we mentioned this earlier on this broadcast, but let me repeat it. He was asked by the man, I think, from Dallas Seminary, and his teacher there in the Greek department, Dan Wallace, Dr. Gipp, what if a person were Russian? I think it was the way it went. What would he do to know the words of God and to know the will of God? And Samuel Gipp piped up and said, why, he'd have to learn English. He has to go to the King James Bible because that's the only version that we should have. And so the position that they take is that the only English edition is the only thing that should be translated, and we completely divorce ourselves from that position. That is King James Version only. In other words, not Spanish or French or German, just only. That's what one of the meanings is. In fact, if you're interested in the tract that I wrote, why are King James only, what does it mean? King James only, what does it mean? I go into these things. There are at least four meanings of King James only, and I go into the first couple, and you'll see some of them mean, don't translate into any other language of the world the Bible, the Word of God. Now, that's a terrible situation, but that's exactly what they say. All right, this number 153. Remember, this chapter deals, it says, according to the caption, with three major fallacies of KJV-only position, which were not that position, but fallacy number one, of bait and switch to find the preserved word. Bait and switch to find the preserved word. It says, one of the more significant technical failings of the KJV-only movement is its use of the bait-and-switch argument. Used exclusively in the KJV-only materials, the argument can be stated in the following manner, and so on. It says, it's not great that the KJV is validated by the majority of manuscripts, as opposed to the horrible minority and so off Alexandrian reading. So then he says that he's promised to preserve his word, and that he means he would not allow Christians to have any less than a perfect Bible in their hand, and so on. So he's quoting this, so that's what the fallacy is, bait and switch. It must be perfect, they say, and so forth, must be available. Well, I don't know whether that's true or whether it's false, but I don't think that's certainly necessarily true, that it must be available. Some people can't understand English or Spanish or French. It's certainly not Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. The very fact that it existed, whether they know it or not, whether they could find it or not, whether they had the money to buy it or not, is not the issue. All right, item number 154. Question number 154 out of 275 starts on the bottom of page 249. We're convinced, he's quoting David Cloud, we're convinced that the KJV is accurate in all textual matters, and if there is a difference between the King James Version and reading and any certain edition of the received text, we follow the KJV. So he's following the King James Version, and he can follow if he wants. And, of course, I follow the King James Bible, too. But the point is, if there's a Greek manuscript or a Hebrew manuscript or Aramaic that is prominent, that's there, it's genuine, and the King James somehow has got a little bit different twist on the thing, I would follow the Greek and Hebrew rather than the King James Version, because the Greek and the Hebrew underlying the King James, those languages are primary, and the translational language is secondary. Always must be. All right, let's go on to question number 155 out of 275, right, page 251 now, where it says the KJV-only argument makes these claims. This is what some of the claims. It's false. If God promises to preserve his word And our godly Christian forefathers have always had the KJV TR, text receptus, then God's definition of preservation must be the same as ours. And then let every word be acceptable, let every word is accessible in every generation, therefore the KJV and or the TR is inerrant because of so on. Well, we don't believe that it necessarily is accessible. It is accessible, but everybody can't get it because they can't buy it, perhaps, or they don't know how to read it because of their limitations on reading. Well, let's go on to question number 155 out of 275. We're on page number 252 now, answering God's Word Preserved by Dr. Michael Sproul. Michael Sproul. And 156, where we read this, the older document has passed through fewer human hands, and a case can be made for fewer older manuscripts being more authentic. The overwhelming majority of mainstream separatist leaders between AD 1875 to 1980 interpreted Scripture in such a way that led them to prefer the fewer older manuscripts. End of quote. In other words, they're preferring B and Aleph, the Vatican Sinai, preferring the false critical text of the New Testament. We don't agree with that at all. And I don't care how many of these older documents people, the different older mainstream separatist leaders between AD 1875 and 1980, I don't care how many agreed that this is the way to go. They could be wrong. And we can't rely just because it's a majority or something. All right, question number 157 out of 275 on page 253 now. And he says, the kind question to ask any of my friends in the KJV-only movement. Now again, they're smashing it with this KJV-only, Ruckman term. In the Ruckman, that of the KJV-only movement is this. Could your interpretation of scriptural passages that you use as proof texts to discuss God's preservation of His Word be in error? And then he says, fundamentalists agree that God preserved His Word. But that verse, what verse clearly teaches the method of preservation or the location of the preserved Word except or in heaven itself, I guess, except in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. So that's the question. That's the issue about preserving His Word. Now notice he says Word. And this man, Dr. Sproul, does not mean words any more than the people and teachers at Bob Jones University mean words. When they use the word Word of God, they're talking about just the message, the thoughts, the ideas about God. And they're not talking about the words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And that's a serious, serious error of definition. They're switching the definition, and it's a terrible, disgraceful thing. Let's go to question number 158. 158 out of 275, we're now, quote, all of those contortions of theological and historical integrity are necessary simply for the KJV-only movement to preserve nearly 2,000 words that do not affect one doctrine that is clearly explained, in another passage of Scripture and often in numerous passages, end of quote. My friend, he's talking about the 2,000 differences. My friend, there's 8,000 differences between the critical text and the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, those words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Especially, he's talking about the Greek words now, New Testament. Over 8,000 differences. This is a book by Dr. Jack Mormon that we've recently reprinted, or really printed, actually, in first hardback edition. And we're running a special on that until the end of December. If you who are listening to us want to have that 8,000 differences between the critical text and the text receptus that underlies the King James Bible, it's yours for, instead of $20 plus 5 for shipping, it's yours for 12 plus 5 for shipping. $17 instead of 25, you may get that 8,000 differences, and that's why we should see. Now, as far as the theological and historical integrity, as he's saying here, Dr. Sproul is saying, the KJV only movement, again, the movement, referring to that, similar to the Ruckman position, which we're not any part of at all. He says nearly 2,000 words that do not affect one doctrine that is clearly explained in another passage of Scripture and often in many questionable things. End of quote. Now, my friend is this. These 2,000 changes, well, really, they're 8,000. He's trying to say they don't affect any doctrine. They don't affect one doctrine. My friend, Dr. Jack Mormon has accumulated chapter and verse on 356 doctrinal passages where the Gnostic text of Westcott and Hort, the critical text of Westcott and Hort, has these errors in it. 356. And to have him say that there's no doctrine, not one doctrine is affected, total falsehood and total lie. All right, we're moving over to number 159. Question 159 out of 275. We're on page 255 now. And he says, he accurately presents from a strong KJV position the reason he does not believe every word in Blaney's 1769 revision is perfect, and by extension, every word in the Scrivener's Text Receptus. End of quote. My friend, I don't believe either that the King James 1769 is perfect. I don't say it's perfect, not imperfect, but I don't use that word for something that man has done. I believe the Lord and His words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, are perfect. And so, he says, necessary to simply, for this KJV only moment, to preserve nearly 2,000 words that do not affect that. All right, so the idea of having the attention of every word, Scrivener's Text Receptus, the words that underlie the King James Bible, I believe those are perfect because they're preserved, and those are inspired words, preserved words, protected words by the Lord, and we're glad for them. If you're interested in Dr. Scrivener's Greek text, which says the exact words underlying our King James Bible, it's available here at our office. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask how to get a copy of Dr. Scrivener's annotated Greek New Testament. All right, let's go to question number 160. Out of 275 questions that I have in this book, talking about God's Word preserved, defense of historic separatist definitions and beliefs by Dr. Michael Sproul. And he's the pastor of Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, chairman of the board of International Bible or Baptist College, International Baptist College. On this point, number 160, they talk about whether one wishes the KJV's TR's perfections or the KJV's perfection. The result is the same. Anglican priests with inspirational powers perfectly selected certain words from the Latin and placed them in English and Greek without any Greek manuscript evidence. End of quote. Blatant lies. Blatant lies. How can this chairman of the board of a Baptist, International Baptist College lie this way? Tri-City Baptist Church saying that whether we have KJV or TR's perfection or the KJV's perfection, you see, it's nothing to do with the King James Version. Perfection. Perfection for us, my friend, lies in the Textus Receptus, the Greek words that underlie our King James, and the Aramaic and the Hebrew words that underlie our King James Bible. And he says the result is the same. It's not the same. Then he says Anglican priests, as if they're like Roman Catholic, with inspirational powers. Well, nobody says they have inspirational powers. Perfectly selected certain words from the Latin and placed them in English and Greek. Now, that's another blatant lie, saying that they took the words from Latin, as if our New Testament is based upon Latin, and Latin first, and then put it into Greek. Horrible errors, horrible blasphemous errors, and falsehoods. How can this man be the president or chairman of the board of the International Baptist College in Tempe, Arizona, and write like this, with ignorance, saying that the New Testament came from Latin, that's what he's implying, and then saying inspirational power. These translators had no inspirational powers, and whether that's a joke or whether that's speaking with a straight face, they had no inspirational powers. They took the Greek text, the edition of Beza, the fifth edition of Beza, 1598, 82 years after Erasmus' edition of 1516, and that's what they used. A few differences, about 190 places where they used some other source, but basically it is Beza. And to say that they have inspirational powers to perfectly selected certain words, it was based on fact. And Beza's Greek New Testament text was a factually based thing. What were the manuscripts? They had manuscripts to back them up. It wasn't some inspirational situation at all. Well, let's go to question number 161. out of 275 on page number 256, where he says, "But the Greek text is not the same. Blaney's 1769 revision is the concern." My friend, it is. We're talking now about the majority, so-called majority text. That's the text that was brought up first of all by Hodges, Zane Hodges and Farstad from Dallas Seminary, my own school. And that's the first text, but the majority text is different than the Textus Receptus. And so there's differences. And then he says, since the Greek text is not really the issue, except to justify their preconcerned goal of maintaining Blaney's 1769 revision of the 1611, logical, scriptural, or historical inconsistency is not a problem to the leaders of the KJV only movement. End of quote. Again, he knocks us down and uses KJV only, and he says that the Greek text is not the issue. It is the issue. In Bible preservation, if he's talking about God's Word preserved, it is the Greek text and the Hebrew text and the Aramaic text. And it's not English, it's not Spanish or French or any translation of that text. In order to have a good, accurate translation, you must start with accurate textual words. And that's what we've done in the King James Bible. Now let's go to question number 162 out of 275. On the bottom of this page in question, page 258, they make the statement in this footnote that this means Jesus existed in human form as 100% God and 100% man. Now, you can't have 100% and 100%. What he should have said, perfect God and perfect man. 100% means all there is to him. And that can't be. You can't have 100% or 100% of the other, but perfect God and perfect man should be the way they state that hypostatic union. Then, question number 163 out of 275. This is found on page 259. It says on page 259, as we said, he says not exactly, see, for something really close to perfect until the 1611 translators made it exactly as the original. That's cool. Not even those translators whose products, vested with inspirational powers by KJV onlyism, believe Christians should have such faith about their work. My friend, this idea of inspirational powers, now that's pure Ruckmanism. It's as if God inspired the King James. He had God breathe the King James, and he didn't breathe out the King James words. He breathed out the Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek, and that's the situation. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This has been Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Don't forget to order your Defending the King James Bible 10th printing, a 356 pages hardback edition. Also, get our Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today, a deluxe genuine leather and 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're going to continue this, my friend, next time, next week at the same time. We want you to stay tuned. This is an important book to answer. This is not a book that's just a common little book. It's a big book that has a big question, a mark about our King James Bible. And we mean business in regard to it. We certainly do. And we want to answer it. We want to take it to the cleaners. And we want to take these 275 problems that we have with it and let you in on it so that you'll know what it's all about. Well, see you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios located at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to Bible for Today weekly broadcast number 996. 996 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Hebrew Masoretic text, including the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org, or simply our website is bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. You can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from Romans through Revelation on that website from the Bible for Today Baptist Church. Give us a call. Do you have our book called Defending the King James Bible? Now in its 10th printing, 356 pages, hardback edition. Why don't you ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 54,000 are in print and distributed all over the world. We want you to get your copy and one for your friends. The defined King James Bible. All right, I'm continuing in this analysis of God's Word Preserved, the title of this book, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs, by Dr. Michael Sproul. Dr. Sproul is the president, the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church, and the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the International Baptist College, Tempe, Arizona. Tri-City Baptist Church, Tempe, Arizona. Dr. Michael Sproul. And we have 275 things we'd like to talk about, questions in regard to this book. We're on question number 164 out of 275. We're on page 260, where it talks again about Ted Leetus, who's a Lutheran. He's a man in connection. He's dead now. He died in an automobile accident. But the latter part of his life, he was affiliated with a Lutheran denomination. It's in the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, and he had apostate connections. Strange indeed. He certainly doesn't like me, doesn't like the Dean Bergen Society, doesn't like Baptists, doesn't like separatists. And he says this. Now, one of this, page 260, Sproul says this. He says, Leetus exposes the Dean Bergen Society as being opposed to its own namesake. Now, let's just pause right there. The Dean Bergen Society was organized, as I said before in the broadcast last week, I believe it was. It was organized by yours truly, and Dr. David Hodges Fuller was one of our first leaders, and Brother E.L. Bynum, a pastor there in Texas. And we organized this thing back in 1978, 28 years ago, I believe it is roughly, as this broadcast is being made. And we do not go against the namesake. We don't have to agree with everything the namesake believed, and we don't. He was a Church of England man, an Anglican. We are, most of us, are Baptists. We don't agree with his polity. We agree with his doctrines that are sound. He believed in the deity of Christ, and so do we. He believed in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so do we. But the distinctives of church polity, we don't get into that at Dean Bergen Society. The reason we have named this Dean Bergen Society as such, after Dean Bergen, is as follows. In the very bottom of every one of our Dean Bergen Society news, and by the way, we've had 78 issues, and issue number 78 came out October to December 2006. At the bottom of that issue, as in all issues, it says this. We've read this last week also, but let me repeat it. The Dean Bergen Society Incorporated proudly takes its name in honor of John William Bergen, 1813 to 1888, the Dean of Chichester in England, whose tireless and accurate scholarship and contribution in the area of New Testament textual criticism, whose defense of the Bible, whose defense of the traditional Greek New Testament text, against the many enemies, and whose firm belief in the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, we believe have all been unsurpassed, either before or since his time. That's the face of Dean John William Bergen, standing for the traditional Greek text and we stand with him in regard to this area. He says, according to Levis, he says, he exposes, according to this man Sproul, the Dienbergen Society as being opposed to its own namesake. Then he says, Levis is very critical of D.A. Waight, and that is high, D.A. Waite's Dienbergen Society, when he says, of course, he admits me, I've been the president of it for 28 years now, reelected every year. We always resign to only one-year terms. I may be out next year, who knows? But he says he's very critical of D.A. Waite's Dienbergen Society when he says, quote, so not only does the Bergen Society deliberately misrepresent Bergen, they have reprehensibly misstated the case when they say the majority text does not represent the kind of revision Bergen himself was pursuing and wished to see brought to fruition. End of quote. Levis, page 193. My friend, that's his majority text book. This is false. We do not deliberately or undeliberately, non-deliberately, if that's a word, misrepresent Dean Bergen. He wasn't trying to make a so-called majority text from the Word of God. The traditional text, the Textus Receptus, as it was called, and he named the words Textus Receptus, he held to that. He did not hold to the so-called majority text that Hodges and Farnstad and others, Robinson and Pierpont, have been purporting and been building and printing. He was for the Textus Receptus. A few changes, yes. But, my friend, he knew enough about the Greek manuscript situation to know, Dean Bergen, to know that you couldn't do a job accurately unless you knew every single thing about all the manuscripts involved. He said you must take all of the capital letter uncial manuscripts. You must take all of the cursive flowing hand manuscripts. You must take all of the quotations from the early church fathers. You must take all of the early editions and the early translations and versions. You must take all of the papyri. And until you have done all that, you can't change the Textus Receptus. He says, it's good as it stands now, and it will never lead any critical student astray as it now stands. Dean Bergen said it, and we believe it. And he said, we're not ready to make all the changes that are necessary. We're not ready for a constructed new Greek New Testament text. And it's all right as it stands. And I've written an entire booklet on the subject, how and when would Dean Bergen revise both the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus Greek. Yeah, my friends, if you're interested in that, please call it by name. When and how would Dean Bergen revise? We'll send it to you free and postpaid. It's probably about a $10 or $15 value. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. Please remember what the title is. Some people call me on the phone. They listen to the radio stations here and there and yonder, shortwave or here in this country, and they don't know just exactly which order I've told about. Now, they all remember the Defending the King James Bible, which, of course, you have to pay for that. But we offer this one here, free and postpaid, to those that ask. You ask, how and when would Dean Bergen revise the Greek New Testament text and or the King James Version? And we'll send it to you free and postpaid. This is what Dean Bergen said. You have to have all the evidence. He said, we don't have preparation yet. You not only do not have the men, you don't have the time that it was taken to go into all these things and to find out the changes and to come into it. And we're not ready, he said. And if his generation was not ready, in 1883 and 4 and 5 and 1886, if he could not do it in his generation with scholars as he had, himself and Dr. Scribner and others of his nature, if they didn't have the personnel to do it then, how can we do it today with numbskulls as teachers and pastors and preachers compared to the scholarship of the days of 1885. This is 2006 as this is being broadcast and prepared. My friend, we just don't have it. Dean Bergen was not misquoted and is not misquoted by the Dean Bergen Society. We just leave the Greek text alone as it now stands, and that's what Dean Bergen says. Unless it's done right, we don't do it at all. And that's our position. That's our stand. Let's move on to question number 165 out of 275. This is on page 262. And he says, he's quoting Letus now. I have collated this revision, a revised edition of the TR, produced by Bergen and Miller, with another revision that appeared back in 1982, the majority text, which was an attempt to further the work that Bergen had begun. End of quote. Absolutely false. Bergen did not want to do that at all. What Letus is talking about is a small booklet, which we have, produced by Edward Miller, and he's had some notes as to some of the changes in the book of Matthew, very small portion of the New Testament, that are possibilities. But Dean Bergen did not go through with it. He said, it's not now ready. We're not now completely ready to do this task of revising the Textus Receptus, the Greek text. And he's saying that Bergen had these things. Most of it is Miller, his understudy. And the majority text does not further the work that Bergen had begun. The reason it doesn't further Dean Bergen's work is because they didn't do it right. The majority text of Hodges and Farstad, for example, did not examine all of the Unschel's capital letter manuscripts. They didn't examine all of the cursives, or even a good portion of them, or all of the papyri, or certainly not all of the quotations of the early church fathers, what they had in their hands, or the early versions. And a small portion is all that they have of these percentages. And so it wasn't done right at all. And to have this man, Ted Letus, to come out in his writing and say that that's what Dean Bergen was going to do and do it that way. Do you know how many manuscripts there were in 1967, for example? Munster, Germany man, Kurt Holland, he had at his day, at his last quotation and total was 5,255. That's 1967. It's a benchmark because it's in his books, and he analyzed how many papyri and how many Unschels and how many cursives he had and how many of the other things. He totaled 5,255. There have been 100 or 200 more found since then. Fine, all right, I'm using that as a benchmark. Now, do you know how many, when the so-called majority text of Hodges and Farstad came out, which differs, by the way, from the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, in about 1,800 places, give or take. Do you know how many manuscripts that they consulted or what they were using? They did not themselves look at any manuscripts. Do you know what they did? Do you know what the Hodges and Farstad did? They took the work of one man, a man by the name of von Soden, a German apostate unbeliever. Von Soden, who's very slipshod in his work, not accurate, even his friends who were on the other side and his own side thought he was slipshod. They took von Soden's notes. And von Soden, I think his first name was Hermann, von Soden, do you know how many manuscripts he had that the majority text, so-called, of Hodges and Farstad are relying upon? 414, to be exact. 414 manuscripts, that's all that von Soden had. And the majority text, so-called, is trying to feed the line to people that that's the way to go. Now, those of you who are understanding mathematics, I realize the new math is a little different than our old math than when I went to school, but those of you who understand arithmetic know when you divide 5,255, even the old number, they've had more now, even if you use the old number, and you compare that 5,255 with 414 that was used by the majority text, so-called, in von Soden, somehow that does not make a majority, even if every one of those 414 witnesses and manuscripts agreed 100% with each other, does it? Is 414 a majority of 5,255? No, my friend. You'd have to have 2,600 or thereabouts. You can't tell me that that's the way to go. And you can't tell me that that would be part of what Dean Bergen would want to do in his revision of the Textus Receptus in the few minor places, or any revision of the King James Bible. You cannot tell me that's Dean Burgon's method. And that's what Ted Leidis is saying is Dean Burgon's method. He would put a stamp of approval on that mess of the majority, so-called majority text. Again, I repeat, I'll give anyone who writes us or calls us, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, write us, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Just put Collingswood, New Jersey. They know us here. Been here for 41 years. Same house, same place. Just simply Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Ask for how and when would Dean Burgon revise either the Text Receptus or the King James Bible. How and when would Burgon revise? That's all. Ask for it. Give us a call if you want. Free and postpaid. At least $10 to $12 value, including the postage, free and postage paid. I want you who are listening to us to understand clearly that the majority text project that Ted Leidis says is right and right on the line with Dean Burgon is wrong. And it's not in line with Dean John William Burgon. If you want to call us, 1-800-JOHN-109. That's all you need. 1-800, it's a free call, 1-800-JOHN-109. What do you ask for? When and how would Burgon revise? That's all you need. The total title is How and When Would Dean John William Burgon Revise Either the Textus Receptus or the King James Bible? How and when would Burgon revise? That's all. Or just how would Burgon revise? Or when would Burgon revise? Please tell us what you want, because from week to week there are different offers and different things. We'll send it to you. All right. I think that's enough for that. Let's go on to point number 166. Question number 166 out of 275. We're on page 261 there of this book. We're answering this book, God's Word Preserved, by Michael Sproul. Michael Sproul. And this book, he doesn't mean God's words. He means just the thoughts and ideas. We don't agree with it. But on this page, the very bottom, he says, David Cloud wrote, I believe preservation was progressive, much the same way that inspiration was progressive and so on. Well, I wouldn't agree particularly with that one. Preservation is not progressive. I believe that the Lord preserved his words from Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and he didn't make a progress of it, so I would not agree with that particular thing. But he's quoting that, and I don't know whether he agrees with it or not, but inspiration happened one time in relation to every book. Well, I would agree with that one. But it's not progressive. Progressive preservation and so on is a strange view. All right, let's go on to question number 167 out of 275. It's on page number 264, where Sproul says, these verses, that's Psalm 8 and verse 2 and Matthew 21 and verse 16, the caption is, did Jesus, the apostles, and the early Christians have the Bible? He says, these verses are not identical. It seems Jesus is quoting from a different translation. Jesus' Old Testament quotations clearly come from the Septuagint. My friend, the Septuagint was not in existence when the Lord Jesus lived upon this earth. How could he quote from something that wasn't even in existence? That's what I desperately, definitely believe. The Septuagint, there may be one or two books in the Greek language translated from Hebrew to Greek in the Old Testament, one or two books. Not the entire 39 books of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. They can't prove that, and I don't know why they keep reiterating it and repeating it. The real beginning of the Greek translation from Hebrew to Greek was in the New Testament era, the 200s, under the time of Origen. Origen had the entire so-called Septuagint, the entire Septuagint in his fifth column of his Hexaplus, six-language Bible. It was in the fifth column, and he had it right there, and that's the beginning of it. And so the Lord Jesus did not quote from it. The Septuagint quoted from the Lord Jesus and from the New Testament, not the New Testament from the Septuagint. All right, let's go on to question number 168 out of 275. We're on page number 265 now. The caption is, where is this perfect or exact received text located, and what or who determines the identification of this text. Then he says, if preservation is perfection in one place, then where is the preserved KJV only Bible? If it is located in the KJV, 1611, the KJV, which revision? If it is in the TR, Text Receptus, which printer or revision of the Text Receptus has it? All right, he's asked some questions here. Now, the question is, I define my terms. When I say the traditional text, or the Byzantine text, or the Textus Receptus text, or call it what you will, when I say that's the text that underlies our King James Bible, and that's the way that I believe is the one, I don't have to look through 14 or 15 different revisions to have people know what I'm talking about. Now, Mr. Sproul quoted me earlier, a week or so ago, and I say very clearly that words that I'm talking about that I believe have been preserved by God from the original words to the present, it's a step of faith, but there are facts to back it up, the words I believe that have been preserved are the words in the Hebrew and Aramaic language and the Greek language that underlie our King James Bible. Well, that's as clear as anybody can be. He doesn't have to ask me which one. That's the one. He doesn't have to say, is it Erasmus, 1516? No, basically it's Beza, 5th edition, 1598. 190 small changes here and there that the King James Bible translators used otherwise in the New Testament. But the words that I believe that have been preserved are those words underlying the translation of our King James Bible. And as far as which King James Version is concerned, I don't have to say that that's a perfection or use a high rate of wording for it. I say that the King James Bible that's reproduced now, the revision that we have now, is fine. It's accurate, and it's proper to use, and we don't have any quibbles with it. 1759, 1769, whatever the year is when they revised it, that's fine. And that's the version that I believe is accurate. In fact, I don't go along with the 1611 King James Version for this reason. It contains the Apocrypha, the hidden, doubtful books between Malachi and Matthew. I despise those books. And I wish that the King James translators had enough brains to leave them out. Now, finally, whether it was 25 years, 50 years later, they took them out and did not use them any longer. Fine. But the 1611 translators should have eliminated those false books that are used in the Catholic Bibles. And they've been resurrected even for other Bibles today. The New Revised Standard Version has the Apocrypha, these Roman Catholic books, these things that are never even in the Hebrew text. And any Old Testament had to be in the Hebrew language, not with these Apocrypha books. They contradict one another. They contradict the Bible. And for the King James Bible to have that, I'm infuriated with that. I don't think it's right. And for the Ruckmanites who say that the AB 1611 is God breathed and given by God, and God wrote all that down, including the Apocrypha? What craziness is this? We've got to divorce ourselves completely from the Ruckman heresy of saying that God breathed out the King James Bible 1611. He didn't breathe out at all. He breathed out the Hebrew and Greek words that underlie the King James Bible, and the King James Bible is an accurate translation of the breathed out words of God, excluding the Apocrypha. And if you want to have a good translation of the Apocrypha, the old A1611 was a good, accurate translation of that, but we don't want to equate that in any way, as they didn't equate it with inspired books or books that were canonical books and accepted books. So that's the answer to that. The King James Version is the only accurate translation of the properly preserved and properly copied inerrant words of Hebrew, inerrant words of Aramaic, inerrant words of Greek, and that's what our position is. All right, question number 169 out of 275, we're on page number 265 still. It talks about the genealogies. It talks about the genealogies. Having the right genealogical transmission line is so important to those of the KJV-only position. Right after the command to avoid foolish questions and genealogies is verse 10. A man that is an heretic, after the first admonition, reject. Titus 3 and verse 10. The word translated heretic carries with it the idea of schismatic, end of quote. Now that is as false as a day is long. Heretic is not schismatic in that sense, and therefore anybody who is schismatic or divides is a heretic. A heretic is one who holds, hiereo is the word, hiereo, who holds a certain doctrine that's false. That's what a heretic is. And he's saying it's schismatic, and since those of us who stand for a King James Bible and its underlying Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words are schismatics, therefore we're heretics. And that's the language that these people are using concerning those of us who stand firmly on the words underlying our King James Bible and our King James Bible itself. I've mentioned before, that's what the resolution, I think it's 2001 resolution of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, FBF, headed up at that time by Dr. Rod Bell, and most of the people in charge were graduates of Bob Jones University. They talked about the brethren in quotes and said if they don't stop raising the area of King James Bible and the Textus Receptus that underlies it, and they don't stop talking about us, we should stay away from them. And they quoted this verse, heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. And they're calling the brethren, fundamental Bible-believing brethren, such as your speaker, as a heretic or a schismatic or divisive, and stay away. This is a sad thing in which we have, where Bible-believing fundamental Christians are called heretics. And that's what he's getting at, I believe, on this page 265. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone. 856-854 is the regular phone, but 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Get your free copy. How and when would Burgon revise the Greek and the King James Bible? How and when would Burgon revise? $12 value, free and postpaid upon request. We'd like to hear from you. Next week, we're going to continue. We're only here on page number 265. We've taken up 169, but we have 275 questions about this book. We believe it's a horrendous book. We don't agree with this book. It's a book by Michael Sproul. Remember, he's the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. We don't agree with this book of his. He's also the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the International Baptist College. He's training his college people in error in regard to the preservation of the words of God in regard to this subject of the King James Bible. Time's up. See you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. Station sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 993. 993 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Or our website is BFT at, it's just simply BibleForToday.org is what the website is, BibleForToday.org. And you can hear on that 24/7 the verse-by-verse preaching from this church, Bible for Today Baptist Church, from Romans through Revelation. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. How to ask your bookstore to tell you how to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you received yet the Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. It's genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 54,000 are printed and distributed worldwide. Why don't order yourself a copy and one for your friends, the Bible they defined, King James Bible. Not another Bible in the world like it. All right, we're continuing the analysis of this book. We don't think it's a good book. We think it's a very bad book. God's Word Preserved, the Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael Sproul. Dr. Michael Sproul is the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, or Tempe, rather, Arizona, and he's the chairman of the board of the International Baptist College. This word, God's Word Preserved, he doesn't mean the words of God preserved, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, but simply the message, thoughts, and ideas. It's a misnomer. We have 275 things we want to talk about in this book, and we're on point number 131. 131 out of a total of 275. And we're on page number 145, where he says, the King James and many of the immoral translators of the KJV and so on. Immoral translators. Now, in the first place, it's false. In the second place, even if they had some immorality, which is not true, I don't know why he's making this charge. There's only one of them they accuse of being a drunkard, but that was after he'd finished the work, I think, on the King James Bible. It didn't affect his translating and so on. But he says many of the immoral translators, as if there are many of the translators, of the 56 or whatever number of men that there were that translated, and he's smearing the entire pack of the King James translators by being immoral. Doesn't go after the text, or doesn't go after the technique, doesn't go after the ability of the language, but smearing false unbelief and immorality of these translators, which is simply false and not true. I don't understand where Sproul is coming from in this attack on our translators of our King James Bible. Don't understand it at all. You shouldn't be doing it. Right, point number 132 out of 275 on page 154. Talks about Benjamin Keach. Benjamin Keach. He says there, this is contained exactly and most purely in the originals and in all translations, so far as they agree therewith. Now, Benjamin Keach, he's writing about the Word of God and the doctrine of the revelation of God's will. Well, my friend, he's talking about, I believe that's false, as far as contained exactly and most purely in the originals and in all translations. My friend, the words of God are not contained purely in translations. Now, they may be translations of the pure words of God, but the words, the specific words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, are contained only in the originals and exact copies of those originals, which we believe are the copies that underlie our King James Bible. They have the proper copies. And therefore, I believe that they're originals, the same as the originals themselves, the words underlying our King James Bible, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. But all translations, that's poppycock. As Benjamin Peach, we should not agree with Benjamin Keach on that at all. And so this is a story of 18th, he's talking about 17th century fathers on preservation. And certainly that's not what we believe as far as translations being a preservation or preserving the very words of the living God. And we should not be talking about translations. Preservation, Bible preservation, is exclusively confined to the original language manuscripts being preserved and kept free from error from the originals to the present copies that we have. And that's what we should be talking about. Let's go to point number 133 out of 275 on page 174 of this book, God's Word Preserved, where he says this. In fact, a KJV-only society named after him, he's talking about Dean Burgon, and he's talking about the Dean Burgon Society. He said, talking about Dean Burgon in 1888 when he died, in the 1880s when he lived and wrote many of his books. A KJV-only society named after him publishes books and pamphlets on this subject. Then does the KJV-only society agree with its namesake? That is Dean Burgon. See? And then he says if Dean Burgon were alive today, could Dean Burgon share his views of actual or textual criticism and give specific references to the different places where he believes errors exist in the KJV. End of quote. Well, let's just stop right there. First of all, he calls the Dean Bergen Society, he doesn't name it, calls the Dean Bergen Society here a KJV-only society. I've said it before in the broadcast, I'll say it again. KJV-only is a smear, derogatory term used for anybody that stands for the King James Bible. And it's also used for those who are followers of Dr. Peter Ruckman and all the Ruckmanite followers of him who have false views on the King James Bible, believing it to be God-breathed in English and superseding the Greek and Hebrew from which it was taken and correcting it. And I don't like to be called KJV only and put in the class, as these men are trying to put us in the Peter Ruckman variety. We disagree completely on the basis of the King James Bible, and Ruckman says it's a revelation. We say it's an accurate translation, completely. Now, as far as the society giving his name, and again he uses this word, as the KJV only society. My friend, this is a misnomer. We're not a King James Bible only society like the Ruckmanites, and that's what he's trying to imply at all. Now, as far as Dean Bergen, could he use the beliefs of us? We simply say, let Dean Bergen alone. He had textual criticism, and yes, he followed manuscripts, and he believes, Dean Bergen believes, and he wrote about it, that the closest to the original Greek and Hebrew Greek and Hebrew words are the words that underlie our King James Bible, or the received text, the Textus Receptus. He says the Textus Receptus stands alone as good as it now stands. Yes, he said there may be a few changes he would make if he had all the evidence, and he didn't get all the evidence. But had he gotten all the evidence, he might have made a few changes, yes. But the Dean Bergen Society doesn't get into textual criticism. We take the position that the King James Bible is the only accurate English translation in existence today. That's number one. We also say that the Word of God has been promised by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and none other to be preserved from the originals to the present day. And since he said it was going to be preserved, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Since we believe he promised preservation, he always keeps his promises, and he's kept the promise to preserve his words. And so we believe that he has done so with all the evidence we've been able to amass ever since we've been in this subject, in this battle, since the 1970s, early 1970s. We believe the preserved words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek that underlie our King James Bible are exactly the same as the originals. And we don't have to take all the points of Dean Bergen in order to name a society after him. One thing we say at the bottom of every one of our Dean Bergen news, and by the way, if you're interested in Dean Bergen news, simply write us or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send you a copy of our latest Dean Bergen news, and you can look it over. And the latest issue and all the issues at the very bottom of the first page say the following. Quote, the Dean Bergen Society Incorporated, by the way, I've been the president of that for 28 years now, the Dean Bergen Society Incorporated proudly takes its name in honor of John William Bergen, 1813 to 1888, the Dean of Chichester in England, whose tireless and accurate scholarship and contribution in the area of New Testament textual criticism, whose defense of the traditional Greek New Testament text against its many enemies, and whose firm belief in the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, we believe have all been unsurpassed, either before or since his time. Now that's what our belief is. That's why we've taken his name. We don't have to agree with everything that Dean Bergen believed. Of course not. I happen to be a Baptist, an independent Baptist. We have people in the Dean Bergen Society, one of them that's a Bible brethren. We have a few that are in the Bible Presbyterian Church. Most of us are Baptists. But this is not a Baptist or a Presbyterian or some other denominational society. It's a society that stands for one main doctrine. And we stand firmly on that doctrine, and we agree on that doctrine. We're separatists. We're against the apostates of our day, the new evangelicals of our day, the modernists of our day, and compromisers of all kinds. We stand for the literal 6 days of creation, There's many doctrines that we hold to, but the main doctrine, we're in defense of traditional Bible texts, in defense of traditional Bible texts, starting with the traditional Hebrew text, the traditional Aramaic text, the traditional Greek text, the traditional English text, the King James Bible, and all the other traditional texts of the languages of the world. So regardless of Dean Burgon's theological beliefs or other things, we can still take his name. And I read that to you, the very bottom of every single issue of our Dean Burgon news, to show why we took that name. Well, let's go on to point number 134 out of 275. We're still on page 174. And here's where Sproul says this. He says, the Dean Burgon site, or it is more likely that his preference might be to cut associational ties with D.A. Waite and the Dean Burgon Society. Now, the background of that, let me see if I can get back to this. Could he freely speak, that is Dean Burgon, on the subject of preservation at a meeting of the Dean Burgon Society? Or is it more likely that his preference might be to cut associational ties with D.A. Waite, that's your speaker, and the Dean Burgon Society? And then he gets into this. Theodore Letus openly admits and asserts that the Dean Burgon Society is in complete disagreement with one of the most quoted and supposed founder of the King James Version Only movement, Dean Burgon himself. End of quote. Well, let me a number of things to talk about on that. First of all, Dean Burgon himself is not KJV only. And how can this man, Ted Letus, who's now dead, by the way, he died in an accident. He was a Lutheran. He was in apostate associations, I should say. He was tied in with all the apostates of the Lutheran Church, of which he was a member. He was not a separatist. He hates Baptists, and he's always written against them. He hates separatists that separate from apostasy and unbelief. And he certainly hated your speaker. I've known him ever since the Dean Burgon Society was founded. He attended the first meeting, probably wanted to climb high into that meeting. As we heard before or after his death, we heard that he was he had a jazz type of a musical background and had strange views on music. And he was nobody, he didn't say too much about his own beliefs on things. But being an ecumenical Lutheran and in the Lutheran Church, he had lots of questionable things as far as what he believed. But he was in attendance of the first meeting of the Dean Burgon Society in 1978. And in that meeting, we couldn't have him as a on the executive committee because he was, at that time, was a member of a Methodist-type church that was in a backdoor relationship with the National Council of Churches. And since our Dean Burgon Society is a separatist organization, we could not possibly have him in that thing. I said, Ted, I said, you have a choice. You either change your church in something that's not in any connection with the apostasy, or you can't be a part of our Dean Burgon Society. The choice is yours. We're trying to put pressure. He said, no problem. I just change churches. No problem as far as that's concerned. Well, there was a problem. There was a problem, certainly, because he wrote me the hottest letter I think I've ever read and ever received, I should say, saying, how dare you say I've got to change churches? I didn't tell him he had to change. I didn't tell him to change. If he wants to be with us, he can't be with any connection with the apostasy in the National Council of Churches. Well, he was angry about that. He was fuming about that. It's interesting, after his death, his wife wrote to me and said, I understand you have some things against my husband, my former husband. I'd like to know what they are, because I'm doing an investigation to see what are the charges, what are the things that people have against him. And so I sent her a number of things. I told her where she could find them. I told her the articles. I told her something about it. And I hope that she will come to the proper conclusion. But anyway, he's quoting Ted Letus here. And Ted Letus, who's, I believe, one of the most pompous of toads that I've ever met, he thinks he knows everything. Everybody else is no good. And the thing about it is, he's right and everybody else is wrong. He's very arrogant, as far as I'm concerned. And Ted Letus, he says, openly admits and asserts that the Dean Burgon Society is in complete disagreement with one of the most quoted and supposed founder of the KJV-only movement. Again, he smears the Dean Burgon Society as KJV-only, meaning we're Ruckmanites, which we are not. We loathe that situation, the stand that Peter Ruckman takes. He's been divorced and remarried two or three times. He's a Baptist minister that, as far as I'm concerned, he's disqualified. The scripture's clear and say he must be the husband of one wife. In other words, one living wife. Yet he's not a husband of one wife. Yet he's a pastor. He's a Baptist minister there in Florida, in this area of wherever it is in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. And so we disagree. But calling us again, KJV Only Society. It's bad indeed. Let's go on to point number 135 out of 275. Still on page 174. He says, the KJV Only Movement, here it is again, knocking us, lying about us. The KJV Only Movement, a movement, is transitioning from its founders' beliefs to Ruckmanism. Did you get that? How dare this man by the name of Sproul, Michael Sproul, there in Tempe, Arizona, Tri-City Baptist Church, chairman of the board of International Baptist College, how dare can he say, first of all, calling us by a smear term, King James Version only, trying to yoke us up with Ruckmanism, and then he has the audacity to say, without any proof whatever, the KJV Only Movement is transitioning from its founder's beliefs. The founder, I'm the founder. Dean Bergen wasn't the founder of this society. D.A. Wade is the founder. There were three of us that got together for this Dean Bergen Society. Dr. David Otis Fuller was one. Pastor E.L. Bynum was another. And D.A. Wade was a third. And we felt that there should be a society that stood for our King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And so, in 1978, we founded the Dean Bergen Society. And we're not transitioning from its founder's belief, and I'm the founder, to Ruckmanism. There's not a single person any more opposed to Ruckmanism, as he stated, than yours truly, the speaker. Absolutely. False, smear, lying. And you know, lying is of the devil. And I don't care if this man is a Christian and a born-again believer, which he professes to be, Dr. Michael Sproul, if he's calling people Ruckmanites or transitioning to Ruckman, which is false, he's using the tactics of Satan. Christians should have no business using the tactics of the devil. And we quote again John chapter 8 and verse 44, where the Lord Jesus talked to the Pharisees, and said to them, ye are of your father, the devil. I'm not calling Sproul a child of the devil, but I'm just using this illustration to showing how the author of lying is Satan. You're the father of the devil. The lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, for there's no truth in him. For he is a liar and the father of it. The father of a lie is Satan. And to have Michael Sproul, who is a professing born-again Baptist Christian, using the tactics of lies that is founded on the devil, should never be. And may God deliver us, any of us, from using the lies of the devil, saying we're transitioning to Ruckmanism. Absolutely false. We have read resolutions and speeches and speakers against Ruckmanism from the beginning. Let's go over to point number 136 out of 275, still on page 174. He says this, yet D.A. Waite, who is the president of the Dean Bergen Society, wrote, now he's going to quote your speaker, quote, it is my own personal conviction and belief, after studying the subject since 1971, that the words of the received text, received Greek and Masoretic Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible are the very words which God has preserved down through the centuries, being the exact words of the originals themselves. As such, I believe they are inspired words. I believe they are preserved words. I believe they are inerrant words. And I believe that they're infallible words. End of quote. That's exactly what I believe. That's a quotation. It's a footnote there, and he quotes me from Defending the King James Bible, pages 48 and 49. I have not changed my belief on this. I have not changed anything if I believe any differently than this. And that's my belief and conviction. And how is that transitioning to Ruckmanism? That's a strange thing indeed. All right, let's go on to point number 137 out of 275. We're now over on page number 175, where we read this. My question is, and this is a question that he raises, which one of the many different TRs, Text Receptus, has the exact words of God. Between Scrivener's 1881, that underlies the KJV, and the 1550 Texas Receptus, published by Stevens, exists multiple variants in Romans 8:11 alone. End of quote. So he's saying, what are the variants? What are the words that we're talking about that underlie the King James Bible and the real Texas Receptus words? I've defined that. I don't know whether this man, Sproul, can understand plain English, but if he's asking me where the exact words are that I believe are the Text Receptus, the best one, the right one, those are the words that underlie the King James Bible, Hebrew words, Aramaic words, and Greek words. And so that's the exact text that I believe it should be the one that is the received text, because those are replicas of the original words themselves. So that's what he was talking about on point number 137. Let's go on to point number 138 out of 275. We're on page number 180 now, where he says this. Sproul talks about by plenary inspiration is meant that the accuracy which verbal inspiration secures. So he's talking about Dr. Schaefer writing on preservation, and he does write about preservation. And Schaefer says this, the noted fundamental theologian wrote, this is Schaefer, Dr. Louis Bray Schaefer, my teacher for 4 years, and then he died after our class graduated, he died that summer. He says, quote, the claim for verbal plenary inspiration is made only for the original writings and does not extend to any transcription or translation. Well, that's all right, that's what he wants to do. That's plenary inspiration, but we also believe there's such a thing as plenary preservation of the very words of the living God. It's important to see. So that's point number 138. Let's go on to point number 139, in this book by Dr. David or Michael Sproul, as I say, from Tempe, Arizona, and he certainly, as the pastor there, he should know something about things. Point number 139 deals with page number 198. It's under the question that did the pro-KJV people historically believe in an inerrant TR or KJV? He says this. He says, did they believe it or did they not? Did they believe what the current leaders in the KJV-only movement believe? Namely, that the TR Greek text or Masoretic Hebrew text and or the KJV language version could claim the title of exact reproduction of the originals. End of quote. Let me just pause right there. We do not say that the King James Bible or any other Bible is a reproduction of the originals, because the originals were written Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and the King James Bible obviously is written in English. We don't say that at all. And my question is, so what if these men didn't believe? What if they didn't believe in an inerrant TR or King James Version? I'm not talking about inerrant King James. We don't believe in the inerrancy of the King James Bible. It's the inerrancy of the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words that underlie the King James Bible. There's where inerrancy is, because they're God's words. God breathed words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And so even if the old-timers in the fundamentalist movement didn't believe in verbal preservation, does that mean it's wrong? They didn't believe a lot of things in the 1909 or the early fundamentals of the faith in the writings there. But that does that mean that we have to stop thinking because they've spoken? We don't believe that at all. Well, let's go on to point number 140 out of 275. Number 140, we're on page number 199. It's quoting Alfred Martin, and he says, one cannot say the Text Receptus, for example, is verbally inspired. It contains many plain and clear errors. End quote. Well, Alfred Martin and I disagree. That's in which Bible? We don't say that it's... He says it's not verbally inspired. Well, it may not be verbally inspired, but if the words in the Text Receptus are the exact words of the originals, those are words that have been verbally inspired by God. God breathed words, copied exactly. They're still inspired words, because of the same words of the originals. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collinsville, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, the Defined King James Bible, and we hope that you'll get a copy of one of the books that we offer from time to time. Write us. We're glad to hear from you. Simply call us at Bible for Today and 900 Park Avenue, Collinsville, New Jersey. Bible for Today, Collinsville, New Jersey, or ask, just call us on the telephone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're glad to answer you. We're going to continue this next broadcast. We hope that you'll stay tuned. This book, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael D. Sproul, is an important book. It should be answered, and we're trying to do our best to answer these arguments that are used. We have 275 of these arguments. We want to use them, and we're on argument number 140. We just finished that. We're going to go to 141 next week. We hope you'll stay tuned to us. It's an important topic, standing for our King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew text underlying it. Well, time's up for now. So long, and we'll see you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, bye-bye. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air. Read each week at the same time and over the same station. Sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to Daily Bible Broadcast, I should say, Weekly Bible Broadcast number 994. 994 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament received text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. Or we'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. I want to ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? It's genuine, deluxe leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, not another Bible in the world like it. Over 54,000 are sold and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. Well, we're continuing the analysis of this book, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael D. Sproul. He is the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. He's the chairman of the board of International Baptist College. And we don't agree with what he's put here in the book in many places. We have a total of 275 points that we want to bring up that we don't agree with. We're on right now on page 199, point number 141 out of 275 disagreement points. He's talking about David Otis Fuller. And he talks about him, and he misrepresents him, we feel. He says, when therefore the great bulk of witnesses, in proportion supposed to 100 to 50 or 1, yield unbelieving testimony to a certain reading, and the remaining little handful of authorities, while advocating a different reading, are yet observed to be unstable, to agree among themselves as to what that different reading concerning which all that discrepancy of detail is observed to exist, may be regarded as certainly false. End of quote. Well, Dr. Fuller, what he's saying is this. If you have a reading that's supported by many, many other readings, that's the way to go. That's usually the one to take. But the one that has no support, that's the one to throw out. That's what Dr. Fuller is pointing out here as he's being quoted by his books. Let's go on to point number 142 out of 275. I'd like to say just another point on point 141 before we close. We're on page number 200 now. He says, the influential book, In the Cage of the Only Moment, admits the TR is not perfect, and by extension, the KJV cannot be inerrant or infallible. End of quote. We don't say it is perfect and infallible. I don't say it's perfect or imperfect, I should say. I don't say it's fallible, but I do not like, as I've said many times before in the broadcast, I do not like to use words that are can be used of the Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew texts and words rather than a translation. Perfection is from the Lord, and the Lord has perfectly given to us His Hebrew Old Testament words, a little Aramaic, and His Greek words in the New Testament. There's where perfection lies. There's where infallibility, there's where inerrancy lies. I say the King James is the only accurate translation of the inerrant, infallible words that God has given to us in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek that has been preserved for us, that words that underlie our King James Bible. All right, let's go on to point number 142 out of 275, again on page 200. Where Sproul says this, men like Cloud, he's talking about David Cloud, Waite, that's D.A. Waite, that's your speaker, and Koo, Dr. Jeffrey Koo, are clearly considered unreasonable by Brown, Rice, or Martin. Brown, I guess that's David Brown, I don't know who it is, probably Mark Brown, maybe whatever Brown it might be, Ken Brown, Dwayne Brown, Rice, whoever that may be, and Martin, whoever that is, because Cloud, Waite, and Koo consider the TR and or the 1611 English version that the translators created as the exact representation of the original documents. And let me just simply pause right there and say what lies there lie behind that statement. First of all, it's including me. I'm just going to speak for myself, and I think I'm speaking for Dr. Koo as well, who's a Chinese Christian over there in the area of Singapore. He's the dean of the Far Eastern Bible College and Seminary. He's one of the advisory council members of our Dean Berghahn Society. We consider the TR, the Textus Receptus, yes, the words that underlie our King James Bible, to be the exact representation of the original documents. Now, that's true, but to say we hold that the 1611 English version is the exact representation. We can't represent Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words in English. We say it's the only exact and accurate translation of those inspired and errant Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, but not that it is an exact representation. You can't represent English in English, so the words that are originally in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But I want to say another thing about this statement. He says that the English version, the TR, the English version, that the translators created. The Textus Receptus that the translators created. My friend, he's lied about this before. He's lying to us again today. The translators of the King James Bible created no version, no Greek text. This is what they've lied about. They say they back-translated from their translation back into the Greek. No, they didn't create a Greek text. They used, basically, Beza's 5th edition, 1598. And they made a few changes from other places instead of Beza. 190 places are specified by Dr. Frederick Scribner. But to say that the version, the Textus Receptus that the King James translators created is false indeed. Let's go to point number 143 out of 275, on page 200 still, where they say this. By the way, let me just continue. One more sentence on 142, number 142. Modern KJV-only authors do not even agree with their founders, like Dean Berghahn, F.H.A. Scrivener, Terence Brown, Robert Dick Wilson, or Alfred Martin, let alone mainstream separatists like Bob Jones, Richard Clearwaters, John R. Rice, Noel Smith, etc. End of quote. Well, first of all, these men were not the founders of the Dean Bergen Society. We're not the founders. Now, modern KJV-only authors. Now, again, they're smearing those that stand for the King James Bible, calling them Ruckmanites. KJV-only is a symbol for Ruckmanites and followers of Peter Ruckman, which is false. And their founders were not Dean Bergen, Scrivener, Terrence Brown, and so on, because they didn't found a Ruckmanite group. That's why I'm objecting to his use of this. But let's go on to number 143 out of 275, these points, page 200. He asked a question, Sproul asked a question in his book, Modern, God's Word Preserved. He says, the question is the KJV-only movement settled theologically? I was talking about this movement. Again, we don't use the term. I use only the King James Bible, but I don't use KJV-only. In fact, there's an interesting article came to my attention recently. It's well written, and it gives the history of the King James Version only moniker or label or smear term. Walks it right straight through historically. It's a very amazing article. Maybe you should get it and look at it and use it. So let's go on to point number 144 out of 275. We're on page number 901 now. Excuse me, 201, I should say. And the Sproul says this, the KJV-only followers and leaders want an exact Greek Textus Receptus. End of quote. Well, my friend, of course we do. And we believe we have it. And Dr. Jack Mormon believes that we have it. Dr. Jack Mormon has recently published for him, the Dean Bergen Society and the Bible for Today, a 544-page book that every one of you listening to me should have. It's called 8,000 Differences Between the Critical Texts That Underlie the Modern Versions and the Textus Receptus Text That Underlies our King James Bible. 8,000 differences. You ought to get it. He says the followers want an exact TR. Well, absolutely we do. However, which the public became aware that literally scores of TRs existed. When the public found out, and none perfectly agreed with each other, the leaders had to explain that the TR created by the KJV translators was the purest of the pure. End of quote. Again, the blatant falsehood and lie of Dr. Michael Sproul on this page, number 201. He says that the Textus Receptus created by the Textus KJV translators. My friend, they didn't create any text. They follow the text. It's as off. Earlier they said they back translated the text. They take the King James English and translate it back into the Greek. Absolutely false. They did not produce a text. They had a text before them, which we've said many times on the broadcast, and we'll say it again this one last time, maybe not the last time, one more time. The translators of the King James Bible used predominantly one major Greek edition of the received text. That edition was the edition of Beza, fifth edition. It was 1598. Now that's a fact. Dr. Scrivener, who's in his book, Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, which we've published in the Bible for Today in the Dean Bergen Society, that shows very clearly that's the text. And certainly that is the purest of the pure in our judgment. But it's not been created by the translators. As I said before, they had Beza's text, 5th edition, 1598. In the appendix, it lists about 190 places where they took other Greek editions instead of the Beza one. But it's basically Beza, and we believe it is the closest to the original words of God in the New Testament. Let's go on to point number 145 out of 276. Sproul writes, one of the two groups of people is deceived. Either fundamentalism's godly fathers, Richard Clearwaters, Bob Jones Sr., A.T. Robertson, D.L. Moody, Noel Smith, John R. Rice, Ernest Pickering, W.B. Riley, R.A. Torrey, James Gray, C.S. Schofield, and so on, are wrong and deceived along with their heirs who hold their position on preservation of, or KJV-only advocates, D.A. Waite, David Cloud, Dell Johnson, Jeffrey Koo, David Sorensen, and their followers are fooled in error. End of quote. One of the two, either were in error and fooled, or the other group, the Godly Fathers, fundamentalism's Godly Fathers, and they name some, are deceived. My friend, it's the Godly Fathers that are deceived. It's not us who are standing for this position, not me, it's not I. They were deceived because they'd never studied the matter. They've never gone from Genesis to Revelation looking for differences in translations, and they've never gone from Matthew to Revelation and compared every critical text word and word to the received text that underlies our King James Bible. They've never done it, as Dr. Jack Mormon has done, and that's what they need to do, is to analyze this thing. They were mistaken. They had not done the research, and many of the men today, Dr. Sproul has not done the research and compared from Matthew to Revelation, even the New Testament Greek, the words that differ from the words underlying our King James Bible. And yet he's writing this book and condemning and criticizing many of these people. All right, let's go on to point number 146 out of 275 on page 203, where Sproul writes this: the perfect preservation of Blaney's 1769 revision of the 1611 rises to a level of a 16 to 20 in the criterion given above. The rhetoric, hyperbole, and harsh language and so on all reveal this belief as a core to KJV-onlyism. End of quote. Well, he's trying to knock the King James Bible Blaney edition. Talks about the preservation of it. I believe it's preserved translation of the preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. But he's trying to knock and change people's minds in regard to the 1611 Blaney edition. Now, Blaney should have knocked out the Apocrypha. He should have knocked out these 12 to 14 books in between the Old and the New Testament. He should have blotted them out, because they're certainly not part of the very words of God. But he didn't do that. All right, let's go on to point number 147 out of 275. He says, this view lands them in Ruckman's lap theologically, because the KJV translators created by their English word choices a TR that was a brand new addition. Let me point right there, unquote. Again, he's repeating this blatant lie that the KJV translators made a brand new Greek edition. They didn't. They took the edition of Visa, 5th edition, 1598. And some of the places, 190 is a very tiny number of places compared to the 140,000 words in the Greek New Testament. And they took, in these places, they used some of the source, but basically it's Visa, 5th edition, 1598. They did not create an edition by some means or other. They used basically Visa's edition of the Greek text. Let's go on to point number 148 out of 275, again on page 204, where Sproul says this. Michael Sproul says the following. He says, the KJV-only leaders. No, before that even. He says, therefore, when they insist that the text receptus behind the King James Version contains the exact words of Paul or Matthew, ipso facto, they are claiming double inspiration for the translator's product, and so on. End of quote. We don't claim double inspiration at all for the translator's product. There's no double inspiration. That's a Ruckman philosophy. That's a Ruckman doctrine, a Peter Ruckman doctrine, and the Ruckmanites hold a double inspiration. They believe the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words were God-breathed. That's what the inspiration of God means, God-breathed. They also mean that the King James Bible was God-breathed or given by inspiration of God as well. This is not our belief at all. This is a Ruckman belief, and we do not hold to that in any way, shape, or form. Let's go on now to point point number 149 out of 275 on bottom of page 204, where Sproul says, it is clear this chapter demonstrates that the KJV-only movement is in flux. Even matters in which Bible do not agree with many of the current KJV-only advocates. Now, end of quote. First of all, we're not KJV-only advocates as far as being Ruckmanites and so on. It's a terrible disgrace to say that, but he continues to repeat it. As he says on the bottom page of 204, as more information becomes known, the KJV-only position must create more explanations that are regularly borrowed from Peter Ruckman in order to maintain their insistence that Blaney's 1769 KJV revision or Scrivener's 1881 TR revisions are perfect. End of quote. Here they are lumping together the perfection, so-called, of the King James Bible and the perfection of the Greek words of Dr. Scrivener in the words that underlie our King James Bible. It's wrong to lump them together. It's wrong to take this thing in that fashion. Now let's move on to a picture. Here's some pictures in the middle of this book, Rasmus, a Greek text, and various other texts. Let's go on to chapter number 5. Dr. Michael Sproul, God's Word Preserved. This is Dr. D.A. Waite debating this thing and saying the things that we differ with on this book. We don't agree with many of the things, but chapter 5 has to do with God communicates through an unclean thing, in question mark. And questionable theologians who are key in formulating KJV-only theology. Questionable theologians. And talks about KJV-only theology. Again, he's tying us in. Yours truly and others that stand with us in the Dean Burkhardt Society with the Ruckman wild-eyed, far-out bigots and crazy people. We're not far-out bigots and crazy people. We are sound, sane, and sensible in our Dean Burkhardt Society, and this man, Michael Sproul, wants to point us out and paint us as some disrespectful piece of trash. That's what he's trying to do, and he's doing it by lies and innuendos, and we are opposed to that completely. Let's go on to point number 151 out of 275, over on page 225, where he falsely says, Surrett. He's talking about Dr. Surrett there at the school, Ambassador Baptist College. He wrote a book, and I've answered that book, by the way. Surrett, a strong KJV and TR proponent, asserts, and so on. My friend, he's not a strong KJV and TR proponent at all. Surrett's book tries to tie two cats' tails together and make them one. And make them compromise, and make them move along together, and be in conformity. He quotes, in fact, he quotes more from the critical text position than he does from the text of receptive position. And Surrett cannot be called a strong KJV and TR proponent. He writes in Ambassador Baptist College, that's one of the things I have in opposition to the Ambassador Baptist College. The fact that they have a professor on their staff that writes a book that is namby-pamby, middle of the road, in regard to what Greek words should be and what Greek words should not be. He takes both sides and gobbles them up and says they're all right, they should work together, everything's fine, we can't know which is which, text of Receptus, or the majority text of Hodge and Farstad, or the critical text of Westcott and Hort, the idea of the United Bible Societies or Nestle Island. And so I differ with him completely that he's a strong KJV and text receptive proponent. Someone who's really strong would never try to say that the critical text is all right too and we shouldn't be too much against it and try to put the thing together and make it work together and say we shouldn't be in two different camps. My friend, if somebody has a camp and the Bob Jones University crowd does have that camp and others that follow them, and they think the critical text is the way to go. The critical text of Westcott and Hort, United Bible Societies, and the Nestle Island Greek text, whatever you want to call it, if they take the position that text is right, with 356 doctrinal errors and with 8,000 differences from the text that I take is right, I can't walk with them. I can't work with them. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And to have this man, Dr. Surrett, to try to tie these two groups together is beyond me. And I'm opposed to it completely and totally, and I can't buy it. And I certainly am one that is strong in the King James Bible and strong in the Text Receptus. And I would never try to put in my book praiseworthy things from the critical text. And that's what Surrett did, and therefore he's not strong, and that's why Ambassador Baptist College is not strong in this area. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collegewood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Be sure to tune in again next time. And remember, you can order from your bookstore, Defending the King James Bible, 10th edition. It's hardback edition, 350 pages. Order from your bookstore and also get the Defined King James Bible published for the Bible for today. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Signing off, this is Dr. D.A. Waite telling you to tune in again next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 995. 995 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the received traditional New Testament text in Greek, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org. You can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from Romans through Revelation from our Bible for Today Baptist Church. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible yet? Its uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's published by our Bible for Today ministry. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, and the only Bible of its kind. 54,000 are printed and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing this analysis and debate against this book written by Dr. Michael D. Sproul. It's called God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. His name, God's Word Preserved, he doesn't mean the words of God. He doesn't mean he believes in the preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. The Word, just the ideas and thoughts and concepts. We're opposed to this. Now, Dr. Sproul is the pastor of the Trinity, or rather Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. He's the chairman of the board of the International Baptist College. So they're teaching these young men in that college, I'm sure, all of these errors and heresies and falsities and lies in this book. And so I believe it has to be answered, and I'm trying to do my best to answer it. We have a total of 275 items that we want to answer. 275. And right now we're on item number 152 out of 275 comments that we want to make. We're on page number 228. Comment number 152. The caption here is Theodore Letus. Now, why on earth is Theodore Letus in with Frederick Nolan and Dr. Fuller and Dean Burgon and Wilkinson, some of these others, I'll never know. Because Theodore Letus is dead against our Dean Burgon Society. He's dead against us who are Baptists. He's dead against those who are separatists. And he doesn't care anything about this speaker, that is for sure. We mentioned him a little bit last broadcast. But he's a Lutheran. He's a new evangelical, Theodore Letus. And he's been introduced to Baptists and fundamental circles through videos and audio tapes. Now, the problem with this is that Theodore Letus was asked by Pensacola Christian College to be on video 2 or video 3, I forget what it is, and with Del Johnson, and to talk about the textual matters. They should never have had this Lutheran. They should never have had this man connected with the World Council of Churches to go to Pensacola Christian College and try to debate this issue. He's not a separatist. He's not anything to do with anything. And he was protested. And they took his book, at least they claimed to take his book out of the Pensacola Library bookstore. But there's many things are still there. That's still videos being offered, I'm told, recently. And so, anyway, I don't know why he's bringing up Letus. He uses the King James. But on the other hand, when he was on the broadcast there, the video, I guess it was, from Pensacola, he introduced the King James 21. And he was trying to push that, King James 21. In fact, he was the media representative of King James 21, which is a competing version from the King James Bible. And so he's not solid in that regard at all, and yet he's listed here for some reason. All right, let's go on to chapter 6. The title they have for that, God Communicates Through Accurate Information. Three major fallacies of KJV-only position. My friends, let me repeat. We don't have the KJV-only position. Here at our Bible for Today ministry or Dean Burgon Society, the King James Version-only epithet is used by those that are critical text people mainly in order to lambaste any of us who stand strong for the King James Bible, but especially they seek to connect us with the heretical position of Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida, Pensacola Bible Institute. All right, they have a quotation here from Terrence Brown, former chairman of the TBS, Trinitarian Bible Society. They say, no reasonable person imagines that the translators were infallible or that their work was perfect. That's right. I agree with that. That's by Terrence Brown. I've known him. I met him. Let us go on to item number 153 out of 256. We're now over on page 249, where we read this, quote, many historical and logical fallacies exist in the KJV-only arguments. Let me pause right there. We're not KJV-only. The Dean Burgon Society is not. That's an epithet for the Ruckman position. See, the one that was one of the leading people in the Ruckman camp is Samuel Gipp, Dr. Samuel Gipp, G-I-P-P. Samuel Gipp was on the John Ankerberg Show several years ago, I should say, in the summertime, as representing the King James Bible. There were three for the King James and about five or six for the critical text and the modern versions. And he was asked, and he's a graduate, I think, of Dr. Peter Ruckman's school, and he goes out to speak for him when Ruckman can't come and so on. But he was asked, I think it was by, we mentioned this earlier on this broadcast, but let me repeat it. He was asked by the man, I think, from Dallas Seminary, and his teacher there in the Greek department, Dan Wallace, Dr. Gipp, what if a person were Russian? I think it was the way it went. What would he do to know the words of God and to know the will of God? And Samuel Gipp piped up and said, why, he'd have to learn English. He'd have to go to the King James Bible because that's the only version that we should have. And so the position that they take is that the only English edition is the only thing that should be translated, and we completely divorce ourselves from that position. That is King James Version only. In other words, not Spanish or French or German, just only. That's what one of the meanings is. In fact, if you're interested in the tract that I wrote, why, or King James only, what does it mean? King James only, what does it mean? I go into these things. There are at least four meanings of King James only, and I go into the first couple, and you'll see some of them mean, don't translate into any other language of the world the Bible, the Word of God. Now, that's a terrible situation, but that's exactly what they say. All right, this number 153. Remember, this chapter deals, it says, according to the caption, with three major fallacies of KJV-only position, which we're not that position, but fallacy number one of bait and switch to find the preserved word. Bait and switch to find the preserved word. It says, one of the more significant technical failings of the KJV-only movement is its use of the bait and switch argument. Used exclusively in the KJV-only materials, the argument can be stated in the following manner, and so on. It says, it's not great that the KJV is validated by the majority of manuscripts, as opposed to the horrible minority, and so on, Alexandrian reading. So then he says he's promised to preserve his word, and that he means he would not allow Christians to have any less than a perfect Bible in their hand, and so on. So he's quoting this, so that's what the fallacy is, bait and switch. It must be perfect, they say, and so forth, must be available. Well, I don't know whether that's true or whether it's false, but I don't think that's certainly necessarily true, that it must be available. Some people can't understand English or Spanish or French, and certainly not Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. The very fact that it existed, whether they know it or not, whether they could find it or not, whether they had the money to buy it or not, is not the issue. All right, item number 154, question number 154, out of 275, starts on the bottom of page 249. We are convinced, he's quoting David Cloud, we are convinced that the KJV is accurate in all textual matters, and if there is a difference between the King James Version and the reading and any certain edition of the received text, we follow the KJV. So he's following the King James Version, and he can follow if he wants. And, of course, I follow the King James Bible, too, but the point is if there's a Greek manuscript or a Hebrew manuscript or Aramaic that is prominent, that's there, it's genuine, and the King James somehow has got a little bit different twist on the thing, I would follow the Greek and Hebrew rather than the King James Version, because the Greek and the Hebrew underlying the King James, those languages are primary, and the translational language is secondary. Always must be. All right, let's go on to question number 155 out of 275. We're on page 251 now, where it says the KJV-only argument makes these claims. This is what some of the claims. It's false. If God promises to preserve his word, and our godly Christian forefathers have always had the KJV-TR, text receptus, then God's definition of preservation must be the same as ours. And then let every word be acceptable. Let every word be accessible in every generation. Therefore, the KJV and or the TR is inerrant because of so. Well, we don't believe that it necessarily is accessible. It is accessible, but everybody can't get it because they can't buy it, perhaps, or they don't know how to read it because of their limitations on reading. Well, let's go on to question number 155 out of 275. We're on page number 252 now, answering God's Word Preserved by Dr. Michael Sproul. And 156, where we read this, the older document has passed through fewer human hands, and a case can be made for fewer older manuscripts being more authentic. The overwhelming majority of mainstream separatist leaders between AD 1875 to 1980 interpreted Scripture in such a way that led them to prefer the fewer, older manuscripts. End of quote. In other words, they're preferring B and Aleph, the Vatican Sinai, preferring the false critical text of the New Testament. We don't agree with that at all. And I don't care how many of these older documents people, the different older mainstream separatist leaders between 1875 and 1980. I don't care how many agreed that this is the way to go. They could be wrong. And we can't rely just because it's a majority or something. All right, question number 157 out of 275 on page 253 now. And he says, the kind question to ask any of my friends in the KJV-only movement Again, they're smashing it with KJV only, Ruckman term. And the Ruckman, that of the KJV only movement, is this. Could your interpretation of scriptural passages that you use as proof texts to discuss God's preservation of His Word be in error? And then he says, fundamentalists agree that God preserved His Word. But that verse, what verse clearly teaches the method of preservation or the location of the preserved word except or in heaven itself, I guess, except in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. So that's the question. That's the issue about preserving His Word. Now notice he says word. And this man, Dr. Sproul, does not mean words any more than the people and teachers at Bob Jones University mean words. When they use the word Word of God, they're talking about just the message, the thoughts, the ideas about God. And they're not talking about the words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And that's a serious, serious error of definition. They're switching the definition, and it's a terrible, disgraceful thing. Let's go to question number 158. 158 out of 275. Now, quote, all of those contortions, the theological and historical integrity, are necessary simply for the KJV-only movement to preserve nearly 2,000 words that do not affect one doctrine that is clearly explained, in another passage of Scripture and often in numerous passages, end of quote. My friend is talking about the 2,000 differences. My friend, there's 8,000 differences between the critical text and the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, those words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Especially, he's talking about the Greek words now, New Testament. Over 8,000 differences. And this is the book by Dr. Jack Mormon that we've recently reprinted, or really printed, actually, in first hardback edition. And we're running a special on that until the end of December. If you who are listening to us want to have that 8,000 differences between the critical text and the text receptus that underlies the King James Bible, it's yours for, instead of $20 plus 5 for shipping, it's yours for 12 plus 5 for shipping. $17 instead of 25, you may get that 8,000 differences, and that's why we should see. Now, as far as the theological historical integrity, as he's saying here, Dr. Sproul is saying, the KJV only movement, again, the movement, referring to that, similar to the Ruckman position, which we're not any part of at all, he says nearly 2,000 words that do not affect one doctrine that is clearly explained in another passage of Scripture and often in many questionable things. End of quote. Now, my friend is this. These 2,000 changes, well, really, they're 8,000. He's trying to say they don't affect any doctrine. They don't affect one doctrine. My friend, Dr. Jack Mormon has accumulated chapter and verse on 356 doctrinal passages where the Gnostic text of Westcott and Hort, the critical text of Westcott and Hort, has these errors in it. 356. And to have him say that there's no doctrine, not one doctrine is affected, total falsehood and total lie. All right, we're moving over to number 159. Question 159 out of 275. We're on page 255 now. And he says, he accurately presents from a strong KJV position the reason he does not believe every word in Blaney's 1769 revision is perfect, and by extension, every word in the Scrivener's Text Receptus. End of quote. My friend, I don't believe either that the King James 1769 is perfect. I don't say it's perfect, not imperfect, but I don't use that word for something that man has done. I believe the Lord and His words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, are perfect. And so, he says, necessary to simply, for this KJV only moment, to preserve nearly 2,000 words that do not affect that. All right, so the idea of having the attention of every word, Scrivener's Text Receptus, the words that underlie the King James Bible, I believe those are perfect because they're preserved, and those are inspired words, preserved words, protected words by the Lord, and we're glad for them. If you're interested in Dr. Scrivener's Greek text, which says the exact words underlying our King James Bible, it's available here at our office, simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask how to get a copy of Dr. Scribner's annotated Greek New Testament. All right, let's go to question number 160 out of 275 questions that I have in this book, talking about God's Word Preserved, Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael Sproul. He's the pastor of Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, chairman of the board of International Bible or Baptist College, International Baptist College. On this point, number 160, they talk about whether one wishes the KJV's TR's perfections or the KJV's perfection. The result is the same. Anglican priests with inspirational powers perfectly selected certain words from the Latin and placed them in English and Greek without any Greek manuscript evidence. End of quote. Blatant lies. Blatant lies. How can this chairman of the board of a Baptist, International Baptist College lie this way? Tri-City Baptist Church saying that whether we have KJV or TR's perfection or the KJV's perfection, you see, it's nothing to do with the King James Version's perfection. Perfection for us, my friend, lies in the Textus Receptus, the Greek words that underlie our King James, and the Aramaic and the Hebrew words that underlie our King James Bible. And he says the result is the same. It's not the same. Then he says Anglican priests, as if they're like Roman Catholic, with inspirational powers. Well, nobody says they have inspirational powers. Perfectly selected certain words from the Latin and placed them in English and Greek. Now, that's another blatant lie, saying that they took the word from Latin, as if our New Testament is based upon Latin, and Latin first, and then put it into Greek. Horrible errors, horrible blasphemous errors, and falsehoods. How can this man be the president or chairman of the board of the International Baptist College in Tempe, Arizona, and write like this, with ignorance, saying that the New Testament came from Latin, that's what he's implying, and then saying inspirational power. These translators had no inspirational powers, and whether that's a joke or whether that's speaking with a straight face, they had no inspirational powers. They took the Greek text, the edition of Beza, the fifth edition of Beza, 1598, 82 years after Erasmus' edition of 1516, and that's what they used. A few differences, about 190 places where they used some other source, but basically it is Beza. And to say that they have inspirational powers to perfectly selected certain words, it was based on fact. And Beza's Greek New Testament text was a factually based thing. What were the manuscripts? They had manuscripts to back them up. It wasn't some inspirational situation at all. Well, let's go to question number 161 out of 275 on page number 256, where he says, but the Greek text is not the same. Blaney's 1769 revision is the concern. My friend, it is. We're talking now about the majority, so-called majority text. That's the text that was brought up first of all by Hodges, Zane Hodges and Farstad from Dallas Seminary, my own school. And that's the first text. But the majority text is different than the Textus Receptus. And so there's differences. And then he says, since the Greek text is not really the issue, except to justify their preconcerned goal of maintaining Blaney's 1769 revision of the 1611. Logical, scriptural, or historical inconsistency is not a problem to the leaders of the KJV-only movement. End of quote. Again, he knocks us down and uses KJV-only, and he says that the Greek text is not the issue. It is the issue. In Bible preservation, if he's talking about God's Word preserved, it is the Greek text and the Hebrew text and the Aramaic text. And it's not English, it's not Spanish or French or any translation of that text. In order to have a good, accurate translation, you must start with accurate textual words. And that's what we've done in the King James Bible. Now let's go to question number 162 out of 275. On the bottom of this page in question, page 258, they make the statement in this footnote that this means Jesus existed in human form as 100% God and 100% man. Now, you can't have 100% and 100%. What he should have said, perfect God and perfect man. 100% means all there is to him. And that can't be. You can't have 100% and 100% of the other. But perfect God and perfect man should be the way they state that hypostatic union. Then, question number 163 out of 275. This is found on page 259. It says on page 259, as we said, he says, not exactly, see, for something really close to perfect until the 1611 translators made it exactly as the original. That's cool. Not even those translators whose products, vested with inspirational powers by KJV onlyism, believe Christians should have such faith about their work. My friend, this idea of inspirational powers, now that's pure Ruckmanism. It's as if God inspired the King James. He had God breathe the King James, and he didn't breathe out the King James words. He breathed out the Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek, and that's the situation. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This has been Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Don't forget to order your Defending the King James Bible 10th printing, a 356 pages hardback edition. Also, get our Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today, on deluxe genuine leather and 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're going to continue this, my friend, next time, next week at the same time. We want you to stay tuned. This is an important book to answer. This is not a book that's just a common little book. It's a big book that has a big question, a mark about our King James Bible. And we mean business in regard to it. We certainly do. And we want to answer it. We want to take it to the cleaners. And we want to take these 275 problems that we have with it and let you in on it so that you'll know what it's all about. Well, see you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios located at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to Bible for Today weekly broadcast number 996. 996 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Hebrew Masoretic text, including the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org, or simply our website is bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. You can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from Romans to Revelation on that website from the Bible for Today Baptist Church. Give us a call. Do you have our book called Defending the King James Bible? Now in its 10th printing, 356 pages, hardback edition. Why don't ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 54,000 are in print and distributed all over the world. We want you to get your copy and one for your friends, the Defined King James Bible. All right, I'm continuing in this analysis of God's Word Preserved, the title of this book, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs, by Dr. Michael Sproul. Dr. Sproul is the president, the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church and the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the International Baptist College, Tempe, Arizona. Tri-City Baptist Church, Tempe, Arizona. Dr. Michael Sproul. And we have 275 things we'd like to talk about, questions in regard to this book. We're on question number 164 out of 275. We're on page 260, where it talks again about Ted Leetus, who's a Lutheran. He's a man in connection. He's dead now. He died in an automobile accident. But the latter part of his life, he was affiliated with a Lutheran denomination. It's in the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches. And he had apostate connections. Strange indeed. He certainly doesn't like me, doesn't like the Dean Burgon Society, doesn't like Baptists, doesn't like separatists. And he says this. Now, one of this, page 260, Sproul says this. He says, Leetus exposes the Dean Burgon Society as being opposed to its own namesake. Now, let's just pause right there. The Dean Burgon Society was organized, as I said before in the broadcast last week, I believe it was. It was organized by yours truly and Dr. David Hodes Fuller, who was one of our first leaders, and Brother E.L. Bynum, a pastor there in Texas. And we organized this thing back in 1978. 28 years ago, I believe it is, roughly, as this broadcast is being made. And we do not go against the namesake. We don't have to agree with everything the namesake believed, and we don't. He was a Church of England man, an Anglican. We are, most of us, are Baptists. We don't agree with his polity. We agree with his doctrines that are sound. He believed in the deity of Christ, and so do we. He believed in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so do we. But the distinctives of church polity, we don't get into at the Dean Burgon Society. The reason we've named this Dean Burgon Society as such, after Dean Burgon, is as follows. In the very bottom of every one of our Dean Burgon Society news, and by the way, we've had 78 issues, and issue number 78 came out October to December 2006. At the bottom of that issue, as in all issues, it says this. We've read this last week also, but let me repeat it. The Dean Burgon Society Incorporated proudly takes its name in honor of John William Burgon, 1813 to 1888, the Dean of Chichester in England, whose tireless and accurate scholarship and contribution in the area of New Testament textual criticism, whose defense of the Bible, whose defense of the traditional Greek New Testament text against the many enemies, and whose firm belief in the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, we believe have all been unsurpassed, either before or since his time. That's the face of Dean John William Burgon, standing for the traditional Greek text, and we stand with him in regard to this area. He says, according to Leetus, he says, he exposes, according to this man's prowl, the Dean Burgon Society as being opposed to its own namesake. Then he says, Leetus is very critical of D.A. Waite, and that is high, D.A. Waite's Dean Burgon Society, when he says, of course he names me, I've been the president of it for 28 years now, reelected every year, we always resign, there are only 1 year terms, I may be out next year, who knows, but he says he's very critical of D.A. Waite's Dean Burgon Society when he says, quote, so not only does the Burgon Society deliberately misrepresent Burgon, they have reprehensibly misstated the case when they say the majority text does not represent the kind of revision Burgon himself was pursuing and wished to see brought to fruition. End of quote. Leetus, page 193. My friend, that's his majority text book. This is false. We do not deliberately or undeliberately, non-deliberately, if that's a word, misrepresent Dean Burgon. He wasn't trying to make a so-called majority text from the Word of God. The traditional text, the Textus Receptus, as it was called, and he named the words Textus Receptus, he held to that. He did not hold to the so-called majority text that Hodges and Farstad and others, Robinson and Pierpont, have been purporting and been building and printing. He was for the Textus Receptus. A few changes, yes. But, my friend, he knew enough about the Greek manuscript situation to know, Dean Burgon, to know that you couldn't do a job accurately unless you knew every single thing about all the manuscripts involved. He said you must take all of the capital letter uncial manuscripts. You must take all of the cursive flowing hand manuscripts. You must take all of the quotations from the early church fathers. You must take all of the early editions and the early translations and versions. You must take all of the papyri. And until you have done all that, you can't change the Textus Receptus. He says, it's good as it stands now, and it will never lead any critical student astray as it now stands. Dean Burgon said it, and we believe it. And he said, we're not ready to make all the changes that are necessary. We're not ready for a constructed new Greek New Testament text. And it's all right as it stands. And I've written an entire booklet on the subject, how and when would Dean Burgon revise both the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus Greek. Yeah, my friends, if you're interested in that, please call it by name. When and how would Dean Burgon revise? We'll send it to you free and postpaid. It's probably about a $10 or $15 value. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. Please remember what the title is. Some people call me on the phone. They listen to the radio stations here and there and yonder, shortwave or here in this country, and they don't know just exactly which order I've told about. Now, they all remember the Defending the King James Bible, which, of course, you have to pay for that. But we offer this one here, free and postpaid, to those that ask. You ask, how and when would Dean Burgon revise the Greek New Testament text and the King James Version? And we'll send it to you free and postpaid. This is what Dean Burgon said. You have to have all the evidence. He said, we don't have preparation yet. You not only do not have the men, you don't have the time and it was taken to go into all these things and to find out the changes and to come into it. And we're not ready, he said. And if his generation was not ready, in 1883 and 4 and 5 and 1886, if he could not do it in his generation with scholars as he had, himself and Dr. Scrivener and others of his nature, if they didn't have the personnel to do it then, how can we do it today with numbskulls as teachers and pastors and preachers compared to the scholarship of the days of 1885? This is 2006 as this is being broadcast and prepared. My friend, we just don't have it. Dean Burgon was not misquoted and is not misquoted by the Dean Burgon Society. We just leave the Greek text alone as it now stands. And that's what Dean Burgon said. Unless it's done right, we don't do it at all. And that's our position. That's our stand. Let's move on to question number 165 out of 275. This is on page 262. And he says, he's quoting Letus now. I have collated this revision, a revised edition of the TR, produced by Burgon and Miller, with another revision that appeared back in 1982, the majority text, which was an attempt to further the work that Burgon had begun. End of quote. Absolutely false. Burgon did not want to do that at all. What Letus is talking about is a small booklet, which we have, produced by Edward Miller, and he had some notes as to some of the changes in the book of Matthew, a very small portion of the New Testament, that are possibilities. But Dean Burgon did not go through with it. He said, it's not now ready. We're not now completely ready to do this task of revising the Textus Receptus, the Greek text. And he's saying that Burgon had these things. Most of it is Miller, his understudy. And the majority text does not further the work that Burgon had begun. The reason it doesn't further Dean Burgon's work is because they didn't do it right. The majority text of Hodges and Farstad, for example, did not examine all of the uncials, capital letter manuscripts. They didn't examine all of the cursives, or even a good portion of them, or all of the papyri, or certainly not all of the quotations of the early church fathers, what they had in their hands, or the early versions. A small portion is all that they have of these percentages. And so it wasn't done right at all. And to have this man, Ted Letus, to come out of his writing and say that that's what Dean Burgon was going to do and do it that way. Do you know how many manuscripts there were in 1967, for example, Munster, Germany man, Kurt Holland. He had, at his day, his last, of course he's dead now, but his last quotation and total was 5,255. That's 1967. It's a benchmark because it's in his books, and he analyzed how many papyri and how many uncials and how many cursives he had and how many of the other things. He totaled 5,255. There have been 100 or 200 more found since then. Fine, all right, I'm using that as a benchmark. Now, do you know how many, when the so-called majority text of Hodges and Farstad came out, which differs, by the way, from the Text Receptus that underlies the King James Bible, in about 1,800 places, give or take, do you know how many manuscripts that they consulted or what they were using? They did not themselves look at any manuscripts. Do you know what they did? Do you know what the Hodges and Farstad did? They took the work of one man, a man by the name of von Soden, a German apostate unbeliever. Von Soden, who's very slipshod in his work, not accurate, even his friends who were on the other side and his own side thought he was slipshod. They took von Soden's notes. And von Soden, I think his first name was Hermann, von Soden, do you know how many manuscripts he had that the majority text, so-called, of Hodges and Farstad are relying upon? 414, to be exact. 414 manuscripts that von Soden had. And the majority text, so-called, is trying to feed the line to people that's the way to go. Now, those of you who are understanding mathematics, I realize the new math is a little different than our old math than when I went to school, but those of you who understand arithmetic know when you divide 5,255, even the old number, they've had more now, even if you use the old number, and you compare that 5,255 with 414 that was used by the majority text, so-called, in von Soden, somehow that does not make a majority, even if every one of those 414 witnesses and manuscripts agreed 100% with each other, does it? Is 414 a majority of 5,255? No, my friend. You'd have to have 2,600 or thereabouts. You can't tell me that that's the way to go. And you can't tell me that that would be part of what Dean Burgon would want to do in his revision of the Text Receptus in the few minor places, or any revision of the King James Bible. You cannot tell me that's Dean Burgon's method. And that's what Ted Leedus is saying is Dean Burgon's method. He would put a stamp of approval on that mess of the majority, so-called majority text. Again, I repeat, I'll give anyone who writes us or calls us, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, write us, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Just put Collingswood, New Jersey. They know us here. Been here for 41 years. Same house, same place. Just simply Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Ask for how and when would Dean Burgon revise either the Text Receptus or the King James Bible. Or how and when would Burgon revise? That's all. Ask for it. Give us a call if you want. Free and postpaid. At least $10 to $12 value, including the postage, free and postage paid. I want you who are listening to us to understand clearly that the majority text project that Ted Leedus says is right and right on the line with Dean Burgon is wrong. And it's not in line with Dean John William Burgon. If you want to call us, 1-800-JOHN-109. That's all you need. 1-800, it's a free call, 1-800-JOHN-109. What do you ask for? When and how would Burgon revise? That's all you need. The total title is How and When Would Dean John William Burgon Revise Either the Textus Receptus or the King James Bible? How and when would Burgon revise? That's all. Or just how would Burgon revise? Or when would Burgon revise? Please tell us what you want, because from week to week they have different offers and different things. We'll send it to you. All right. I think that's enough for that. Let's go on to point number 166. Question number 166 out of 275. We're on page 261 there of this book. We're answering this book, God's Word Preserved, by Michael Sproul. Michael Sproul. And this book, he doesn't mean God's words. He means just the thoughts and ideas. We don't agree with it. But on this page, the very bottom, he says, David Cloud wrote, "I believe preservation was progressive, much the same way that inspiration was progressive," and so on. Well, I wouldn't agree particularly with that one. Preservation is not progressive. I believe that the Lord preserved his words from Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and he didn't make a progress of it, so I would not agree with that particular thing, but he's quoting that, and I don't know whether he agrees with it or not, but inspiration happened one time in relation to every book. Well, I would agree with that one, but it's not progressive. Progressive preservation and so on is a strange view. All right, let's go on to question number 167 out of 275. It's on page number 264, where Sproul says, "These verses," that's Psalm 8 and verse 2, and Matthew 21 and verse 16, the caption is, "Did Jesus, the apostles, and the early Christians have the Bible?" He says, "These verses are not identical." It seems Jesus is quoting from a different translation. Jesus' Old Testament quotations clearly come from the Septuagint. My friend, the Septuagint was not in existence when the Lord Jesus lived upon this earth. How could he quote from something that wasn't even in existence? That's what I desperately, definitely believe. The Septuagint, there may be one or two books in the Greek language translated from Hebrew to Greek in the Old Testament, one or two books. Not the entire 39 books of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. They can't prove that, and I don't know why they keep reiterating it and repeating it. The real beginning of the Greek translation from Hebrew to Greek was in the New Testament era, the 200s, under the time of Origen. Origen had the entire so-called Septuagint, the entire Septuagint in his fifth column of his Hexaplus, sixth language Bible. It was in the fifth column, and he had it right there, and that's the beginning of it. And so the Lord Jesus did not quote from it. The Septuagint quoted from the Lord Jesus and from the New Testament, not the New Testament from the Septuagint. All right, let's go on to question number 168 out of 275. We're on page number 265 now. The caption is, "Where is this perfect or exact received text located, and what or who determines the identification of this text?" Then he says, "If preservation is perfection in one place, then where is the preserved KJV only Bible? If it is located in the KJV, 1611, the KJV, which revision? If it is in the TR, Text Receptus, which printer or revision of the Text Receptus has it?" All right, he's asked some questions here. Now, the question is, I define my terms. When I say the traditional text, or the Byzantine text, or the Textus Receptus text, or call it what you will, when I say that's the text that underlies our King James Bible, and that's the way that I believe is the one, I don't have to look through 14 or 15 different revisions to have people know what I'm talking about. Now, Mr. Sproul quoted me earlier, a week or so ago, and I say very clearly, words that I'm talking about that I believe have been preserved by God from the original words to the present. It's a step of faith, but there are facts to back it up. The words I believe that have been preserved are the words in the Hebrew and Aramaic language and the Greek language that underlie our King James Bible. Now, that's as clear as anybody can be. He doesn't have to ask me which one. That's the one. He doesn't have to say, is it Erasmus 1516? No, basically it's Beza, 5th edition, 1598, 190 small changes here and there that the King James Bible translators used otherwise in the New Testament, but the words that I believe that have been preserved are those words underlying the translation of our King James Bible. And as far as which King James Version is concerned, I don't have to say that that's a perfection or use a high rate of wording for it. I say that the King James Bible that's reproduced now, the version that we have now, is fine. It's accurate, and it's proper to use, and we don't have any quibbles with it. 1759, 1769, whatever the year is when they revised it, that's fine. And that's the version that I believe is accurate. In fact, I don't go along with the 1611 King James Version for this reason. It contains the Apocrypha, the hidden, doubtful books between Malachi and Matthew. I despise those books. And I wish that the King James translators had enough brains to leave them out. Now, finally, whether it was 25 years, 50 years later, they took them out and did not use them any longer, fine. But the 1611 translators should have eliminated those false books that are used in the Catholic Bibles. And they've been resurrected even for other Bibles today. The New Revised Standard Version has the Apocrypha, these Roman Catholic books, these things that are never even in the Hebrew text. And any Old Testament had to be in the Hebrew language, not with these Apocrypha books. They contradict one another. They contradict the Bible. And for the King James Bible to have that, I'm infuriated with that. I don't think it's right. And for the Ruckmanites who say that the AB 1611 is God-breathed and given by God, and God wrote all that down, including the Apocrypha, what craziness is this? We've got to divorce ourselves completely from the Ruckman heresy of saying that God breathed out the King James Bible 1611. He didn't breathe out at all. He breathed out the Hebrew and Greek words that underlie the King James Bible, and the King James Bible is an accurate translation of the breathed out words of God, excluding the Apocrypha. And if you want to have a good translation of the Apocrypha, the old 1611 was a good, accurate translation of that, but we don't want to equate that in any way, as they didn't equate it with inspired books or books that were canonical books and accepted books. So that's the answer to that. The King James Version is the only accurate translation of the properly preserved and properly copied inerrant words of Hebrew, inerrant words of Aramaic, inerrant words of Greek. And that's what our position is. All right, question number 169 out of 275. We're on page number 265 still. It talks about the genealogies. It talks about the genealogies. Having the right genealogical transmission line is so important to those of the KJV-only position. Right after the command to avoid foolish questions and genealogies is verse 10. A man that is an heretic, after the first an admonition, reject. It's Titus 3 and verse 10. The word translated heretic carries with it the idea of schismatic, end of quote. Now that is as false as a day is long. Heretic is not schismatic in that sense, and therefore anybody who is schismatic or divides is a heretic. A heretic is one who holds, hiereo is the word, hiereo, who holds a certain doctrine that's false. That's what a heretic is. And he's saying it's schismatic, and since those of us who stand for a King James Bible and its underlying Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words are schismatics, therefore we're heretics. And that's the language that these people are using concerning those of us who stand firmly on the words underlying our King James Bible and our King James Bible itself. I've mentioned before, that's what the resolution, I think it's a 2001 resolution of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, FBF, headed up at that time by Dr. Rod Bell, and most of the people in charge were graduates of Bob Jones University. They talked about the brethren in quotes and said if they don't continue, if they don't stop raising the area of King James Bible and the Textus Receptus that underlies it, and they don't stop talking about us, we should stay away from them. And they quoted this verse, heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. And they're calling the brethren, fundamental Bible-believing brethren, such as your speaker, as a heretic or a schismatic or divisive, and stay away. This is a sad thing in which we have, where Bible-believing fundamental Christians are called heretics. And that's what he's getting at, I believe, on this page 265. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone. 856-854 is the regular phone, but 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Get your free copy, How and When Would Burgon Revise the Greek and the King James Bible. How and When Would Burgon Revise, $12 value, free and postpaid upon request. We'd like to hear from you. Next week, we're going to continue. We're only here on page number 265. We've taken up 169, but we have 275 questions about this book. We believe it's a horrendous book. We don't agree with this book. It's a book by Michael Sproul. Remember, he's the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. We don't agree with this book of his. He's also the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the International Baptist College. He's training his college people in error in regard to the preservation of the words of God in regard to this subject of the King James Bible. Time's up. See you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long.